Bus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers dropped Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the New York Knicks 109-93. The Cavs are now down 2-0 in the series and will look to bounce back in Game 3 from Cleveland tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Western Conference Finals is back on tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder will travel to San Antonio for Game 3 with the series tied at 1. Tip-off is scheduled for 8:30. On the diamond, the Cleveland Guardians beat the Detroit Tigers 3-1 yesterday to earn the series sweep and their 6th win in a row. They'll start a weekend series in Philadelphia tonight. And the Cincinnati Reds had off yesterday, but will host the St. Louis Cardinals tonight with first pitch at 6:40. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun.
Come on, Joe!
Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the 5 best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Welcome in. Happy Friday to you. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Maybe you already have a day off. Maybe you're going to work. Either way, hope your weekend is off to a good start when you take it. I'm T-Bone. He's Tyvis. Good morning, go to hell. Tyvis, how are you? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I know you're not insinuating that people are doing that four-day thing where they take Friday.
Off one day and get four?
Yeah,
that's a thing. Oh, there's a lot of people doing that today.
Why didn't you do it?
Because I'm here to work with you.
That's what I like to hear, T-Bone. You're a good man.
Also because my workday ends at 9 a.m. So it's kind of like on a four-day work week. Like, I don't have...
That's right. This is right up your alley.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You seem like the kind of guy who would take a Friday off to get 4-day weekend.
Absolutely. Dylan is here as well. Dylan, would you take off a Friday to get a four... One day to get a four-day weekend?
I originally was going to take next week a four-day week and make it... A no day week.
Oh, just take.
Yeah, I was going to take the 4 days off.
And hey, there you go.
Take the bonus day, but then I was like, then I'll miss Tyvis for a whole extra week.
Oh yeah,
next week is Tyvis's last before the baby tsunami arrives.
It is countdown to baby tsunami. We are mere days away from that. When Tyvis goes on paternity leave to be with his lovely family and new baby son.
What about him?
Well, when it happens, I'm saying then Joshua Perry will be stepping in to fill in for you.
Permanently.
Need to Google Wally Pip is what you need to do. Go Google him. Find out why you don't know his name. Some guy named Lou Gehrig stepped in, and that's all you heard of after Wally Pip. So that may be Joshua Perry. You're Wally Pip to his Lou Gehrig.
You know what? I wouldn't be shocked. Josh is really good.
Then he can go do his real passion of doing color commentary for spring games.
It awakened him to his passion. His passion was rejuvenated from calling one spring game.
Yeah.
A year of working with us, no passion.
Oh,
dead. Beaten out of him.
I don't have to deal now with Dylan's slick comments and being forced to eat food that I don't like.
You know what? You're not forced to. It's a game. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. Be better. Yeah, that's a skill issue. That's not my fault. No, I actually, one of the things I love about you is that you use the word slick, and I have said that before where I've said that to my wife, like, man, that guy thought he was getting slick. Or sometimes I'll use it in a positive way. If I see a nice car, I'll be like, ooh, that's slick. And she's like, slick? Where are you from? Like the 1950s? And I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was slick. Slick's not a word we use anymore, slick apparently.
Slick is a very common noun in
I'm told, in
the house, because you... That's when you ain't never had, I think that's like a pet peeve of people that's been in a relationship, because your partner knows you. So therefore they know how to get under your skin.
Yeah.
And it's always the slick, smart remark under their breath that really gets you. That's the one that really like triggers a lot of people. And I think that's what I'd be like, oh yeah, you got them slick comments. Like, I heard you with that little slick comment you got. Like, that's how I kind of use it.
Well, I guess the kids aren't using the word slick. I like using the word slick, but my girlfriend's son the other day, we were watching 50 First Dates. with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. And in the movie, they watch, she gives the dad the Sixth Sense movie on VHS and they watch it every day, because if you haven't seen the movie, she just lives the same day over and over again, essentially.
Right.
And I was like, I also had Sixth Sense on VHS. And he says, wow, you're old. And I said, boy, I used to get Netflix in the mail. I've been waiting to use that on a kid for so long, and that opportunity just opened itself right up, and I walked right in.
I used to get Netflix in the mail. Yes. Is definitely a get off my lawn type of comment. I would agree with that.
And then he said, did you used to walk to school in the snow 1 mile uphill both ways? And I said, you're gosh dang right, I did.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm now that guy.
Yeah. There's a part of that there. I heard somebody say this the other day. It was actually, I think, a Twitter comment someone had posted that they saw like an actual, you know, the little floppy disks that you get?
Yeah.
That, you know,
used to use them
in computers.
Yeah, put them in
the computer. Pop them in the computer and it would save something on it. Well, that's, you know, that's like the basis for the save icon now, like on Word and other, you know, like on the internet, anywhere.
Yeah,
it's a little floppy disk icon. Right. Yeah. So somebody had one of those, and apparently they said they were showing it to a younger person.
The floppy disk.
Yeah. And the response was, oh, cool, you 3D printed the save icon. And it's like, we're getting old.
What? Like,
they didn't know it was like an actual thing that you use to save things on. Obviously, now no one would use that because you couldn't even save like two words of a song on there, let alone gigabytes of data.
I still believe that me being born in the 90s was great because I got to experience like the world changing. Like I experienced those things. So I could still be in that conversation with the older folks.
Yeah.
But I also still can relate to see what the new folks are talking
That's
about.
Right. I mean,
so when, like when the 90s is like the perfect middle child.
What age were you when you had a cell phone for the first time?
Ooh, like 10, 11?
Oh, see, no, we're 10? Of a different generation.
I was like 15.
This is back. But I was, so what happened was my sister had a Nokia.
Oh,
this is back when you had minutes.
Uh-huh.
This is
prepaid
minutes. Prepaid.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
So when they actually upgraded her to like being on a plan, not the prepaid, like she was on a plan.
Mm-hmm.
She gave me her Nokia.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
Like I always had to go get minutes.
Yes,
but I didn't have Verizon or Sprint. Verizon or Sprint was free nights and weekends.
You still had minutes no matter what.
Yeah.
You were on a minutes restriction.
I had minutes all the time.
you were like Kawhi Leonard.
But I always wanted Verizon or Sprint because they got the free nights.
Right.
This is back where the don't call me. Call me after 9.
Yeah, call me after, yeah, after 7 or after 9, whatever the time was. Oh, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, so that's, you're right. I didn't have a cell phone until like, the one we had, our family had one when I was in high school. So when I started driving, it would be like, take the cell phone with you in case disaster strikes, you know, but it was like in emergency use only. You open this thing up and it was like a brick that flipped down and had the things that you, yeah.
Did you pull the antenna up as well?
Yeah, totally.
Like
I'm not even talking about the Razor, like the Sprint, like the little Razor flip.
Back in high school, had that Razor.
Yeah.
I still remember car phones.
I remember when Nextel. Remember Nextel?
I had one of them and it went off in my pocket because I was sitting in the chair and it hit the bar on the chair and that song went off. Ooh, they came and confiscated that.
There was a time.
You could go to school and put the phone on the desk.
Nextel, people don't know, had like a walkie-talkie feature where you'd just be like, and you could just like hit someone up and not even use the phone technically.
The Nextels, boy, they changed the game.
Everyone thought that was so cool when that came out.
Oh, absolutely right.
It's like, it's just a walkie-talkie on your cell phone. Why is this cool?
You know, this is an interesting transition. I'm going to try to make it work, but the Nextel thing reminds me of like, for a while there, they used to call NASCAR the Nextel Cup. And like Nextel was a big sponsor of NASCAR. And around that time is when a guy named Kyle Busch started driving in NASCAR.
Mm.
That was back in 2005, was when he was like a full-time NASCAR driver. And he burst on the scene. So yesterday I'm sitting at home and now on my actual phone that has like the entire world on it, right?
Yeah.
I get a notification that says Kyle Busch dead at 41.
Yeah.
And I have gotten, you know, notifications on my phone a lot over the years.
You got spooked.
Well, I saw it pop up and I'm like, that's the first time in a very, very long time where I've been like, that's ESPN got hacked or the CBS Sports app got hacked, whatever alert it was, I forget where I saw it, but when it popped up, I'm like, that's not real. That
is always
that didn't happen.
For me, if TMZ reported, it's real.
Well, so then I, of course, go on the internet and go on Twitter and I see, oh, it is very real. NASCAR, everybody else mourning the loss of Kyle Busch this morning. Last night, the news came down. If you didn't hear that, died at the age of 41. They said from some form of illness.
Yeah.
And here's what's weird about it, from just as a longtime NASCAR fan, like I saw this yesterday in the afternoon. They had posted, there had been tweets about Kyle Busch is going to miss the race this weekend at Charlotte. It's the Coke 600. It's one of the biggest races of the year. So that was a little surprising that he was going to miss the race, they said, due to illness. And they said, you know, it's important for Kyle Busch to take care of himself. We're okay. Like the way it was framed was, it's okay, he's missing this. He should take care of himself. The team's not mad about him missing the race. We have a backup driver. We're good to go. And so there was nothing in there like, this is a dire situation. Pray for Kyle Busch. Things could be, I don't know, folks. None of those type of, it was just like, it was an up in the air if he was going to race or not this weekend. Now he's not, and he's going to go to the hospital. 8 hours later, it's a tweet that says he died. So there's so much to unpack from that for the NASCAR community, and I'm sure for a lot of people who are fans of his to want to know what exactly happened here, and I'm sure those answers will come in due time. I'll just tell you from the perspective of a longtime NASCAR fan, which is me, he was a guy that a lot of people hated, a lot of people booed. There's literally a name for him. People would just say KFB. It became kind of like a badge of honor. Kyle effing Busch, like that's, I mean, good, bad, or otherwise, that's kind of what people have said about him. Because if you loved him, he was a dominant driver. If you hated him, he was a tremendous driver who was annoying because he always won. And he let you know it. Fans would boo him. He would turn right around and be like, "Wah, cry more." Like, right, Dylan, if you didn't know much about NASCAR, Kyle Busch would have been your guy because he was like the ultimate troll. But it's not like a troll that couldn't do it. He could back it up as a driver, but... Yeah, that news came down yesterday, and
I always loved his Eminem suit.
Oh, dude, that Eminem's car. I think there were a lot of people who didn't know his name, but if I said the guy who drove the Eminem's car for like 10 years, they would say, "Oh, yeah, I've seen that car, the yellow car with the peanut M&Ms." But he was tremendous driver, the winningest driver in NASCAR history across the three divisions. He won in the Cup Series, the like secondary feeder series. He would drop down and race there. He won over 100 races in that series. And then he won like 60 races in the Truck Series. So no driver has won that many races. And it was, he was going to keep doing it. He was going to keep racing, going to keep driving. And now
41 is so young.
Yeah. And it's, I'll say this, the last thing I'll say, and we can move on, but we're used to as racing fans, like, I see these guys, you know, they strap into cars. I'm going to go to the Indy 500 this weekend. They're going to strap into the cars. And there's always known in the back of your head that something tragic could happen in a race. You don't hope for that, but it's a dangerous sport. So what's weird about this one is if it happened during the course of a race, it would be like tragic. It would be shocking, but it would also be something where you'd say, well, that's the deal with racing. You know, so that is one of the trade-offs, is it is a very violent, dangerous sport. To find out that someone went almost as quickly as you would in a race on like a random day that's not when a race is happening because he had some kind of infection or illness, that's what makes this one really tough to even for jaded NASCAR or racing fans who are like, we've seen guys die in race accidents, things like that. This is a whole nother level of it. It just doesn't compute. So RIP to KFB, and obviously our thoughts are with his family. Kyle Busch, a legend in the motorsports community. A lot of us are down bad and sad over that for sure. The Cavs are down 2-0 in their series. What can they do to rebound in Game 3? We'll talk about all that next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Friday. If you're making your way out the door, especially to head out towards those holiday plans, make sure to leave early. We are seeing a pretty big crash happening just south of Grandview Heights. It's on 670 westbound at that 70 split. We have two right lanes that are currently blocked out there too. Really slow drive times, and I don't like to see the backups. Instead, take 670 westbound, southbound eventually on 315. Get off at West Broad Street, takes you towards 70, and from there you can head back westbound over towards that west side. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
org.
Common Man and Timmy are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Enjoy the quiet in the morning as we head into the late morning and early afternoon. Rain will develop and will continue throughout the day. Could be heavy at times with some isolated thunderstorms, and we'll see breezy winds with highs in the mid-60s. And then for tonight, rain continues overnight with still thunderstorm chances, breezy winds, and lows in the upper 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Matty Ice is currently bathing himself in creamy jalapeno dip.
And I've officially run out of ways to tease this show. Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. Every time Tybus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
All right. The raging debates that are going on inside the studio today.
T-Bone is jealous that Kyrie is that guy.
It's not jealous.
Because he told Wimby, have this dance.
You're showing me a highlight. Kyrie Irving and Victor Wembanyama in the All-Star game. What year was this? Last year or this year?
I think that was... No, that wasn't last year because he was hurt last year.
Wemby was hurt all last year. So it must have been this year?
No, Kyrie was hurt all this year.
Kyrie was hurt all
So it had been the year before.
Okay, fine.
So it was last year.
So was it his rookie year?
It would have had to have been last year or the year before.
No, let's go. Hold on, let me look it up.
But whatever. The point is, the highlight is this. It's Kyrie Irving versus Victor Wembanyama, and Kyrie Irving is dribbling, and Victor Wembanyama stops him from advancing past him every single way, and then he thinks he's got him, and Wemby recovers to block his shot, and then Kyrie takes two steps and travels. And
he only
showing me this highlight like, Victor Wembanyama can't stop Kyrie Irving.
First of all, you're not about to sit here and lie. He took one step through.
He took a two step. No.
I'm watching it. What are you talking about?
He took because he gathered. And he stopped to gather.
Yes, thank you.
He stopped and gathered.
Embrace the gather step.
And then he takes an additional. No.
Embrace the gather step. It's in the rules.
It would have been a travel every time.
The referee is standing right there. It ain't like this is one. It's not like this and one. He's standing right there.
Are you telling me? Hold on. I want everybody to sit down. Are you telling me that in an NBA All-Star game, the referee swallowed the whistle? I've never heard such blasphemy.
You all right over there?
I'm about to sneeze. I was going to say that's shocking.
It really touched you.
No. I thought I was going to have to sneeze. I suppressed it. Good.
Tyvus asked me something that made this conversation spiral into this, and I don't remember what it was.
You guys were talking. Kyrie being the best player.
Somebody texted me and said that Wimby wouldn't beat Michael Jordan in one-on-one.
He asked me who would I take in a one-on-one between Wimby and Michael Jordan, and I said Wimby, and then he said, how about LeBron and Wimby, and I said, LeBron, duh.
Yeah, LeBron.
But then I said, in all seriousness, one-on-one for my life, and any player ever, I'm probably taking Kevin Durant 1, Kyrie Irving 2, Wimby 3.
Everybody just thinks because Kyrie can dribble. That's just, everybody's just got it. Kyrie can dribble, but no one can defend.
To Tyrus's point, he said, what's the rules? And if it's make it, take it, and Kyrie's getting the ball first, give me Kyrie.
But if it's make it, take it, and Victor Wembanyama gets the ball first,
it's over with.
No one's ever getting the ball back.
It's over with.
All right. Anyway, that's the dumb argument we've been having. I would love to have either of those players back on the Cavs, though. I'll tell you that. At least in Kyrie's case, back. Wemby would be awesome to have on the Cavs. Cavs go down 2-0 last night in their game in their series with the Knicks. The Knicks look unstoppable. They win 109-93. I had this game on late first half, early second half. And I mean, what I saw there was what I kind of expected to see. Really, the Cavs couldn't do a lot defensively.
Well,
sets were terrible.
Hold on. We don't do that now.
Cavs
came out the gates and they was actually pretty good. I love the fact that they really did the big thing. They was getting Evan Mobley the ball and he was dishing it to Jared Allen. They was really trying to get that paint presence going. I mean, Donovan had like 3 points at halftime. He might only have like 3 points or something like that. So it was a lot of, I knew that James Harden was going to come out and try to be aggressive because what chatter. He knows exactly what chatter was going on. So I knew he was going to be aggressive, but I thought Evan Mobley really exerted himself early on. This game was lost in the third quarter. When they sat there and watched it, they scored the first 4 points in the third quarter,
and then
they proceeded to watch the Knicks go on an 18-0 run.
I told you.
I said right then and there, I said, well, this game is over with. And then the whole time they kept trying to scratch and claw, and it just wasn't going to happen. You're not going to go to the Garden, go down 18, go give up, let them go on 18-point run, and then think you're going to come back and win that game. That's just not going
to
happen.
They tried to come back a little bit at the end of the third.
Yeah, but
in the beginning of the fourth. And you know who wasn't in the game when that was happening?
James Harden.
Yeah. And then they put him back in the game, and then the run continued a little bit.
But then the Knicks just took over. But you know what also killed them? Usually Sam Merrill hit some timely threes. I don't think he made a three. Max Strus hit some timely threes. I think he made one in the game. So like that, the shooting was off for them. And it took until like the late third quarter for Donovan to really get going anyway. To me, it just, they waited too long and they shooters wasn't making no shots.
Sam Merrill was 0 for 7, by the way, for what it's worth.
That's the reason why I don't think this series is over. Because it's very status quo to say it, but it's like the role players, where do they play the best at home? Strus and Merrill are probably hitting there. I'm telling you, Sam Merrill's not going to go 0 for 7 in the arena formerly known as the Gund Arena.
What's wrong with that?
The Gund Arena. I think it's not.
You like that disease?
I think they rebuild it. I don't know if that's the same. I can't remember. I don't know if that is the same as the Gund Arena or not. I actually don't remember.
Y'all getting real close.
The Gund Arena. What's wrong with that? What it's called?
It sounds like a disease.
You sound like a disease right now.
But no, like the Cavs are getting nothing from their bench or their role players. I mean, they're not getting anything from their stars really either. And I imagine that they're not going to play this crappy at home.
I don't. The Knicks have done this to the Sixers. They just destroyed the Sixers in the last series. They're 2-0 in this series.
But this series.
The Cavs are better than
this series is wild because as bad as they be playing sometimes, like they've had one quarter has cost them two games.
Yeah, but see, like, here's the thing.
The first game was the fourth quarter. This game was the third quarter. If they need to play four quarters of good basketball, and they would win this. They probably win this series if they did that.
Yeah, but you know who's not having these bad quarters? Like, the Knicks are not having bad quarters.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
The first game one, they had three bad quarters. What are you talking
That's
about?
Facts. That's facts. They had 3.5 bad quarters.
I'm looking at this game right now. Like, I watched the first quarter of that game was dead even. Second quarter, the Knicks had they scored more. They played better. Third quarter, they destroyed the Cavs in this game. Fourth quarter was kind of even. Like, I'm just saying, it's not like the Knicks are out here scuffling and the Cavs are like, we're just getting all the bad bounces. I mean, like, the Knicks are the better team,
but
they're playing like
it,
they're acting like it.
The Cavs surrendered to Josh Hart last night. They go shoot it, and he made 5 threes.
Yeah, and there you go.
5 for 11.
But that's another thing. I don't think Josh Hart's doing that.
No,
in Cleveland.
He's not doing that. In the playoffs, every playoff team plays defense on four people and leave somebody open for the shot. And if you hit the shot, it changes the game. Josh Hart was the guy that they left open. They continuously did it. He made 5 of them. That was the difference of the game.
All right, we're going to nickel and dime this thing. And again, they may win a game in Cleveland and suddenly everybody will be like, what do you have to say now? I have to say it's a 7-game series. You got 0-2. Building's going to be full of Knicks fans.
Both games in Cleveland
Half that building's going to be full of Knicks fans.
Well, the Cavs going to definitely win game 3. That's going to happen. It's game 4 that I'm worried about.
I don't know that they are going to win.
Oh, they're going to win game 3. I'm going to tell you that. You could bet the house on it. Like I told you to bet the house that the Knicks was going to win game 2, bet the house that the Cavs going to win game 3.
Here's how they win. Here's how the Cavs win game 3.
They're going to be desperate.
Yeah.
What they have to do,
Kenny Atkinson pulls his head out of his ass and says, you know what, James Harden, sorry, sit down. Grab some bench.
James wasn't even that bad. He wasn't even part of the problem.
He still defensively is a liability.
That's who he's been. You knew that's what he was.
Kenny Atkinson is like, he's a great defender.
Kenny Atkinson doubled down on it yesterday. He needs to be drug tested. Right. You know how after somebody have an unbelievable game, they had that cup sitting for you in the locker room? That's Kenny need to do that.
Listen to this, man.
Think about James. I'll just defend him. He's a good isolation defender. Always has been. He's super smart. I said it last night. He's got great hands. I was kind of a little more upset with our backline defense. Okay, You know, he had a couple, two or three really tough shots on him. But then I think the baseline drive where our low guy didn't come over and get a contest, right? This is team defense. At this level, it's team defense.
Okay. I just watched that game last night. Because now, Kenny Atkins had said this prior to last night's game. He said this to the media during shoot around or something before the game. And you go back and watch it. James Harden is, when he's not the primary defender, there are times where he's absolutely lost and his man is just wandering the baseline, getting wide open looks under the basket, helping out when the rest of the Cavs defense is doing their job. Yeah, guys need to help out. They have to help out because James Harden is a liability on defense. And at this point, if I'm Kenny Atkinson, I don't want to go down 3-0 in this series. If you get down by 8 or 9 points, you need to take him out and go bring in someone who can actually defend. No, I'm saying if you get in the second quarter of this game.
You don't take James out when you're down. You take James out when you're up. That's when you need to take him out.
Because
that's when you need the defense.
By the way,
when you're down, you need
his
scoring. 6
of 15 last night for 18 points. 18 points on 15 shots.
Second most points on the team?
In a loss where they lost by 20.
But he was the second most scoring person on the team.
All right, whatever.
Kenny Atkinson started that clip by saying, "Let me defend James Harden." If James Harden was in the same position, he wouldn't defend Kenny Atkinson because he can't.
He can't defend anything.
He's not capable.
He's not capable.
The only way that James can go on the bench when you down is Evan Mobley needs to have more than 14 points. He needs to be in the 20s. If you're giving me that, then that's fine. But
just remember,
right now,
folks,
you don't got that.
Cavs are the better team, but what I got shunned about?
Oh. He got to score 30. We need scoring in the playoffs. We need somebody that can get their own bucket.
Take your issues out on your friends up in Cleveland.
Let him stay on that floor.
I didn't say that. They up in Cleveland said that. All these Cavs media people who want to defend James Harden. I'm not one of them. I'm telling you, this man sucks. And he's bad in the playoffs, and he's bad in Game 7. Everybody knows it. Defensive liability.
Boo, what do you know?
What are you seeing? Ding, ding, ding. We just see them all right there. All right, the SEC is a conspiracy theory. The latest example of this in 2 minutes. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Low commute times heading towards that airport. Not looking too bad on this Friday. Both 670 westbound and 270 northbound. Not giving you any issues. So far, so good. If you're on the north side and heading downtown, especially towards 315, between 270 to Bethel Road, it's only a 3-minute commute for you. But hey, good morning to our friends over in Madison County. If you're stepping out the door right now, a great way to go is 70E is between 42 to 270. It's only a 12-minute commute. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
Together. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Do we have a fan poll yet today?
Nope.
All right. How about this? Are you watching the Indy 500, yes or no?
You read my mind.
Do that. Fan poll brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. It'll be up momentarily on all the sites. I will be watching it. I'll be there live. I'll be in attendance for... They're saying there's going to be 350,000 people. 350,000 tickets have sold for this thing. Grandstand is sold out. There's still probably going to be 100,000 people in the infield. Have you ever seen the graphic, Tyvus, of how big the Indy 500 is? Like all the things that can fit in it?
Yeah, it was like the Yankee Stadium and all these. It was
Yankee Stadium, Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Vatican City can fit. Like not one of them, all of them. And the White House can fit in that, like all of it can fit inside the racetrack, like 2.5 miles around. So
would you recommend if I, let's say, wanted to take an impromptu trip to Indy?
Yeah.
Like you can still get like general admission.
Yeah, you can get tickets to the infield probably. And
like, do you think that would be a good experience?
It depends on what your tolerance is for walking, parking in ridiculous traffic, and sitting on like probably wet grass.
I'm looking at the graphic. Yankee Stadium, the White House, the Coliseum, Rose Bowl, Churchill's Down, Taj Mahal, Liberty Island, Vatican City.
Not just the Vatican, like Vatican City, the whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing. Like it's
all that fits inside the
ridiculous. It's crazy. And here's the thing. That track, like I said, 350,000 people are going to be there, plus probably more than that.
You going?
This This
I'm thinking about it.
Okay, Dylan, don't I don't recommend a last minute trip to Indy, and here's why. Because parking, you have to go to a neighborhood that's like Grandview or UA. That's what the neighborhood is like around the track. Probably not as nice as Upper Arlington. It's a little bit older homes and a little bit more, I would say, smaller homes than what you have in UA. But all the little lots, people will pull you into their driveway and park you for like $50 a piece. And then you're just kind of there. Leaving the track afterwards, count on 2 to 3 hours minimum stuck in traffic. Because it's like 3 Ohio State games letting out at the same time in a neighborhood like Grandview. So good luck with all that is what I'm saying. What we're going to do is literally tailgate after the game or after the race.
Okay, here's my retort. What's a planned trip going to help all the issues that you just stated?
Because I know where to park. I also have a plan to like bring food and cooler and beverage, and we're going to chill out for a few hours in the track, and then afterwards we're just going to sit there and enjoy it. And then after the traffic clears out, we're going to go.
It's going to rain.
Then we're going to sit in our cars and enjoy some hamburgers and hot dogs that we make on it. I'm bringing a tent so I can put the grill under it if I need to, cook on the grill, and then we can eat food and sit in the car.
So you're inviting Dylan to
your... I was going to say, send me your location. Yeah. I'll know where to park.
I'll drop the location. That's fine. We can do that. Yeah, I'd love to have you at the tailgate. I'm just saying it's not necessarily I'll just see how the parking... Like, literally, people have the thought, let me Uber over there. You can't.
I'll bring my girlfriend with high anxiety for an experiment.
It may not go well for you. Also, hotel rooms are insane. So, like, if you decide, I need to get a hotel room, this is too long of a time. Well, good luck. They're all booked.
I'm kind of scared of the crowd. That's why I probably wouldn't go.
What is wrong with the crowd?
I think
the whites are good.
Is that okay? You know what? Fair. I'm not denying that I have some privilege in that regard. But I will say, of all the race car crowds you're going to go to, the one at the Indy 500 is by far the most diverse you're going to see, because people coming all over the world for this thing.
Okay.
It's people all over the world.
So I get to see my kind sprinkling around.
I'm glad the people enjoy the blacks.
What? me too. I'm glad that that's the case as well. By the way, I saw this from Lane Kiffin. He was talking on Pardon My Take, apparently, about the SEC. They're a conspiracy theory, because if they lose all their games, it's because they're so tough. And if they win all the games, that's also because they're so tough. It's a great conference no matter what. That's the definition of conspiracy theory. Here's Lane Kiffin talking about why the SEC hasn't won a national championship in the last few years.
I think it's set up in a good way for the top heavy teams there right now. I think now, and it's going to get better. We're going to 9 games, and our bottom is harder than theirs.
Cut that
okay?
up.
Okay, and our bottom stadiums,
I need that.
You know, are harder than theirs. So
I need that.
We're going to beat each other up more, and they're going to sit up there and have 2-3 hard games a year, you know, and so their top teams and our top teams, when they go to the playoffs, okay, they're in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff matters. You know, it's why, like, I've always been a proponent to stay at 8 games and let us make our own, whoever we want to play in knockout. Don't tell us who we have to play.
Right.
And we would do, like, the model of the last place I was just at. Look at we went 20-0 in non-conference regular season games at Ole Miss. 20-0. We didn't play any of them big, like, openers. This place went, in a 4-year span, lost 3 or 4 openers.
Yeah, they played hard games at the openers.
So you play, yeah, that's so great, whatever. Well, you don't get rewarded for it because it's not worth it enough in the strength. But also, that schedule where half your games you don't have to get up for, it's just a mental toll that you got to play when you're getting up for. Plus also, man, your good players are out by the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So your play count at the end of the year is less. One of the really good teams there rested a couple of their good players in conference games at the end of the year.
Okay. So that's Lane Kiffin talking about why the Big Ten, there's 2 or 3 tough games, everybody else is easy. And the SEC has the most difficult schedule in the world.
Did he say that they start off with a big game?
No. He was saying at Ole Miss, they purposely didn't.
And LSU did.
LSU does, and they've lost 3 out of 4. So he's basically saying, I'm getting rid of that. We're not going to play tough games when I'm in charge. I'm going to make sure we avoid those. So that's good. This is in the midst of having 24 teams in the playoff, potentially. Now we're going to have guys like Lane Kiffin who say, I don't want to schedule tough games. I have 9 SEC conference games. It's going to be so difficult.
That whole spiel made my brain hurt.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Because what happened to the battle-tested argument? We're good because we're battle-tested.
Bingo.
And now it's, oh, man, we are maybe too tested.
Too tested.
And now it's going to be too much now when we add that extra conference game. I mean, God forbid we have to go into Lexington, Kentucky or Nashville, or Starkville. Tennessee.
Yeah, you can't. People don't come out of those places winning games. It's crazy. Also, I just love the idea from Lane Kiffin that because their conference schedule is so tough, that is why they lost at LSU. But Ole Miss, he couldn't win there with fewer resources and all this. I mean, they play in the SEC too, last I checked, right?
Right.
But fewer resources. Obviously, he brought up all the racism concerns and all that stuff. Yet the team, that team with all those things set against it, was in the playoffs last year, and now he's gone to LSU, a bigger school that hasn't had as much success, and he's back to like, oh, well, it's just so tough. So tough to win in this. Just pick an argument, man. What are we?
Their schedule this year stinks.
LSU's?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like by design. If there was, I mean, they can't help the conference schedule, but who do they play in the non-conference?
Clemson, La Tech, McNeese. That's the three.
So basically three schools that will not factor in the national championship picture. Yeah, that's exactly
State,
right.
Arkansas. Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but of their non-conference, it's
That's the three.
They set up three teams McNeese, that are going
to
be terrible.
Well, to their defense, when they scheduled Clemson, they probably thought that was going to be a big game.
And thankfully for them, it's not. All right. There was apparently a disaster that happened this week in Columbus. We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Two right lanes are still blocked just south of Grandview Heights after a crash on 670 westbound at that 70 split. 16 miles per hour for your slowdowns, and still we're noticing the backups towards that Grandview Avenue exit. Instead, take this detour. We'll save you a lot of time on this Friday. 670 westbound to get you to 315 southbound. From there, get off at West Broad Street. Take that all the way towards that ramp. Get you back going westbound over on 70. M10TV's Brianna Albizu with your...
For details. Good news. Jack has personally invited the Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Do yourself a favor this weekend. I'm just telling you in advance, this account is only active maybe 3 days a year. It's on Twitter, /X. I don't know if it's anywhere else. Indy 500, the three numbers, 500, INDY 500, PICS, PICS, on Twitter. All it is people all weekend at the Indy 500 sharing photos of drunk, disorderly, weird t-shirts, people staggering around because they've had a little bit too much to drink. It is some of the most unhinged behavior you will ever see. It is somehow allowed on Twitter. And it's like 3 days every year. They open this account up. They post all these pictures. Like the last tweet from it is from like May of last year. They are literally on for 3 days, and then the guy shuts it all down and doesn't post anything to it again. So what I'm telling you, if you would like to see some unhinged behavior from the Indy 500, even if you're not going, just follow him. At Indy 500 picks, I'm telling you.
You know what really grinds my gears?
What's that, Tyler?
Yesterday, I was sitting on Twitter, and I seen a report come out, and it talked about how the Cavs declined to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo at the deadline.
Oh, here we go.
And you know what's so funny?
Here we go.
As I sit back.
He just walked in from TV, fired up about this.
Didn't give a damn about what we were talking about.
It doesn't matter.
He's got his own agenda.
It's fine. I was just giving you a heads up if you like debauchery, that we can move on from it.
Because it's crazy talk. The fact that you declined to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's arguably top five. I won't even say he's the greatest in the game right now.
Okay.
I'll give him top five, right? And that's me being humble.
Okay.
You think Giannis would make a difference right now?
Yeah.
Do you think Giannis would have made a difference against the Raptors and the Pistons?
Do I think they would have gone to seven in both those series? No.
Okay.
A good team wouldn't have gone to seven in both those series is what I'm trying to tell you.
So
this is healthy.
But this is the part that makes me laugh about the whole thing. And this is the part that really, like, really
grinds your gears.
Yeah, this the one. This the one. I'm about to say it right now. You ready? You would trade a 26-year-old point guard for a 37-year-old point guard. But when you talk about Evan Mobley for Giannis, it's, oh, well, he's young and he's our future.
You just did that.
So why not? Let's, if that's what we doing, then let's go ahead and do it all the way.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And we're going to get, and we're going to age this roster. Let's just go ahead and age it and just give us 1 or 2 years, because that's the window anyways. Let's get 1 or 2 years and let's try to get this thing done in the next 1 or 2 years.
I don't understand the Cavs' plan there. I don't understand defending, like, I get it. There are a lot of Cavs fans who want to say, hey, we only lost the first two games at home. Series hasn't even started yet till someone wins a road game. That's how this goes. Fine, but you can have a series that never starts and they lose, right? Because every team can just go out and win their home games and the Knicks bounce you in game seven. That's just how that'll go. So I'm not saying that's going to go to seven or that they are going to lose the series, but I don't know what you've seen. I know in the first game they were up big. I guess that's the hope you cling to, is that they could actually get that lead again and then not crap it away, not let Jalen Brunson kill you. Like, I don't.
What? Jalen Brunson didn't kill you last night.
No, but he did the night before, or the game before.
Yeah.
When they had a lead, and then it's like no lead is safe with him on the court. No, last night they shut him down more. Shut him down. I mean, he still got his points, but like Josh Hart killed you last night if you're a Cavs fan. So you've tried to eliminate Jalen Brunson, and then you lose by even more than you did in the first game. So now what's the strategy in game three? Well, hope the home crowd lifts you. That'll get you maybe 3 wins at best. Well, and by the way, that's if that crowd doesn't sell half their tickets like everybody else has to the Knicks fans who are paying ungodly sums to see these games in New York.
The ticket, they said that the Knicks fan paid, I forget how much it was, but basically, essentially, it was if you took the Cavs game 3, 4, and 6 ticket, it's if they pay that price for one game.
They're saying that's the average price to get in the door for like
at Madison Square Garden
for one game. You could get the average price of all three games, add them up, and it's less than that.
Correct.
You don't think Knicks fans are going to factor that in and take a flight? I bet some of them will. No, it's not going to be like they do for Philly, where they had a train that could take them right down there. But
Donovan Mitchell's hurt. I can't wait till they, whenever they lose.
Oh, that's going to be the excuse when they come out.
Well, 100%. They were talking about it on the broadcast.
They're going to all admit
that his right leg, you could see it clear. He said, Kenny said he asked him about it, and he said he's fine, but he's clearly there. Donovan's not exploding. But you know what? Guess what? You had another guy.
I don't.
If Evan takes the step that he's supposed to take, which he's had glimpses, it's just not been more consistent enough. They need to give him the ball more. If I was them, I'd stop running through Donovan.
The reporting has been that at the time they were looking at the trade deadline and they were looking at moving and getting Giannis Antetokounmpo, that a deal was kind of had in principle, but they had to make sure that everyone was on board in the organization. Apparently some prominent voices were not on board with this, but the idea was that Evan Mobley would be part of the package to get Giannis Antetokounmpo. Some in the organization said, no, we think we can win with Evan Mobley. So that's part of why you're saying, like, Evan Mobley taking the next step. If he does that, great, but Giannis Antetokounmpo has already done that. Anyway, that's all water under the bridge now. Cavs didn't make the deal. And
you know how many shots? I don't even think Evan really took any shots in the second half. Like, that's...
I don't know.
This the guy who's supposed to be the best player on the team if you want to win a championship.
Yeah.
Before we move on to what you tease, can we take a time machine back to the last segment real fast?
Okay.
Lane Kiffin, at the end of the quote we played, said, there's a team in that conference, as in the Big Ten, that rested starters late in the season and conference games.
He's talking about us.
He talking about Ohio State?
Well, I was wondering about that because, I mean, obviously we know that Carnell Tate had injuries, but we JJ all questioned at the time.
Yeah.
Yes, but we all questioned at the time how severe, and obviously we saw in the Michigan game, not severe enough to keep either of them off the field and keep either of them from being effective. So, yeah, I don't know if the rest helped. I don't know if it was because they were fully injured. What I know is, yeah, roster management's going to come into play, and that's going to be a thing. I also think that if you believe Ohio State would have played Mississippi State and it would have been like a close game, you're out of your mind. Like, their argument that Lane Kiffin is making is that Ohio State wouldn't have been able to do that in the SEC. The hell they wouldn't have, right? They would have had that game 34-10 in the third quarter and been resting guys there too. Or they would have gone with the vanilla offense, not played Carnell Tate, and still would have won the game easily. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, I don't buy the argument that the worst teams in the SEC are just so far superior. Why is it that when all these teams play in bowl games, suddenly the Big Ten whoops them?
Well, you know why. They don't take it serious.
They don't take it serious. I forgot.
Their guys is gone.
I forgot. They don't care. Until the SEC beats Big Ten teams in those bowl games that are meaningless, and then they actually do prove that that's why the SEC is the dominant conference. When they lose, it's the dominant conference. When they win, it's the dominant conference. It's almost like no matter what you tell these people, they just come away going, doesn't matter, SEC, great. That's the definition of insanity. It's also the definition of a conspiracy theory. where you can give any argument you want to these people and they say, I still see it my way. Okay, great. Enjoy that. Enjoy being the poverty conference. It's down there feeding your AAA system to our Big Ten awesomeness. That's great with me. By the way, the Big Ten, the Big Ten, I don't know why I said that. Bruno Mars, the concert that happened here on Wednesday night, I didn't realize how big of a deal this was till I left yesterday. I saw a lot of people talking about how it was a nightmare of traffic. People on the news talking about they'd sit in traffic for 2 hours on Lane Avenue just to get into that area. And I have a theory about why this all occurred. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe, because people were saying this doesn't happen at OSU games. My thought is, yeah, because everyone in Columbus has the good sense on a Saturday in the fall not to go near the shoe unless you're going to the game, right?
Yeah.
On a Wednesday night, you got people who are just living their lives who aren't even aware this concert is happening, driving down 315 and then getting stuck in traffic, adding to the traffic for all the people who are coming in. Just telling you, I think maybe we should not do giant 90,000 plus concerts on any date other than a weekend.
Isn't Bruno Mars like allegedly in a lot of debt and he's got to do concerts to get out his debt?
Allegedly, that is why he has had a Vegas residence for quite some time.
So, he has a residency, I believe it's at the BetMGM or the MGM Grand, and he's supposedly just performing to pay off his gambling debts.
But it's wild because, like, then he goes out and does
it. All he's going to do is pay it off and then run it right back up.
Then he goes right back.
That guy, I don't know what causes. I mean, I know what it is, a gambling addiction, it sounds like, allegedly, if that's what it is.
It's going to be different this time.
Well, he's like in the Michael Jordan boat. If you could afford it, it's not an addiction, apparently.
But he can't.
It's a hobby.
He can't afford it. He's paying it off now.
He will
can't
be hawking his watch.
He did just go on tour, so I don't know. Does he not tour often? Is that because of the Vegas residency thing? Is that why this concert was?
Touring in Vegas every night.
I mean, I was shocked. Literally, I saw that he was coming to Columbus, and I thought it was at the Shot. Like, I had no idea he was playing the Shoe until, like, last week, and I said,
this was last night or two nights ago.
It was 2 nights ago.
That was the good. That the weather was good that day, right?
No, it was raining.
It was rainy.
There were people in ponchos at the concert.
Yeah, it was,
and it still did 80,000.
Yeah, imagine if it had been nice weather and some of these people just decided, let's go after all. We have tickets. Why don't we go ahead and do it? Yeah, I have some good news for Browns fans. Details next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
The roads looking nearly perfect in our southeast Columbus area, just outside of Groveport. We're talking both directions, 270 looking great, closer towards that Alum Creek Drive area. As for the rest of the metro, still looking nice and easy out there, nothing too concerning as of right now. And for our friends in Delaware County, about an 11-minute commute if you're taking 23 south between 36 to 270. Instead, maybe take 71 south, a little bit faster when it comes to your commute, 9 minutes there between 36 to 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
reserve. Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers dropped Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the New York Knicks 109-93. The Cavs are now down 2-0 in the series and will look to bounce back in Game 3 from Cleveland tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Western Conference Finals is back on tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder will travel to San Antonio for Game 3 of that series. It's tied at 1 apiece. Tip-off is scheduled for 8:30 tonight. The Cleveland Guardians beat the Detroit Tigers 3-1 yesterday to earn the series sweep and their 6th win in a row. They'll start a weekend series in Philadelphia tonight, while the Cincinnati Reds had yesterday off, but will host the St. Louis Cardinals tonight with first pitch at 6:40. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union, voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org to learn more. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Just a reminder, Tyvus thinks all pizza tastes the same. Also a reminder, Tyvus was born without taste buds. You're listening to Bone and Tyvus.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. If this is the start of your weekend, maybe if you're up this early, I'm guessing it's not, because maybe you're heading into work, but maybe you took the day off, traveling with family, friends. Be safe out there. Hope you have a good time, and I hope you get to enjoy, obviously, celebrate the people who sacrifice for us. All that stuff is important to remember on Memorial Day as we're having our get-togethers and celebrations as well. Tyvus, I'm curious, are you doing any Memorial Day grilling? Any cooking out of any kind?
Is it supposed to rain?
Well, okay. You know what? We'll find out at 8:30. Meredith Carfalo is going to come in and give us the latest absolute update on the weather we can get. But sometime this weekend, presumably there will be some time for you to get out there and have a little bit of a grilling experience. Do you have any plans for that?
No. Good. But you know what? It's nothing for me to go out there and do it.
Well, I was just going to ask if you were doing a Memorial Day celebration, what kind of foods would be on the cookout?
Well, usually at this time I usually go up to Worcester with my wife's family. They usually open up the pool and then we usually have like a cookout with burgers, dogs and stuff like that. But they're not doing that this year. So Everybody's kind of doing their own thing this year. So with that being said, I don't know what the wife wants to do. She's not in the mood right now to do a lot.
Tyvus is saying it'll be nothing to him to send his pregnant wife out to go get the ingredients to grill.
First of all,
that's correct. That's right.
The last time we had burgers, what day was that? It was like Monday or Tuesday this week. Whenever it was nice, the last nice day, it was probably Monday. And she actually had did some hot dogs, but she couldn't get the burgers because they was like frozen together. So I had to come out and like rip them apart.
Yeah.
When I did that, she was like, you know what? You just cook them. I don't care. So hey. I actually cooked them. And you know what? Best burgers we've had in quite some time.
Now, what bun did you use for those burgers?
We used, I don't know exactly what the bun was, but it was a bun.
I'm sorry, you put a bun on your burger, Tyvus.
Yeah.
I was told by, let me check my notes here. Tyvus Powell, that you can't put buns on burgers.
So, buns on hot dogs. I had burgers and dogs. I had a bun for the burger, and I had the dogs with just no bun.
Well, how do you put toppings on a hot dog?
You squirt them on the side.
What are you squirting on the side for your hot dog out of curiosity?
Ketchup and mustard.
Okay.
Didn't Dom freak out about something with hot dogs? Did I hear that right? On Bishop and Friends? I think he was losing his mind over the fact that people put ketchup on their hot dogs. I've never understood.
Is he from Chicago?
Yeah, I don't know why we have to adopt like another region's like food stuff for hot dog. Eat them how you want. If you like a hot dog with
ketchup and mustard, what's the problem?
I don't understand.
I only choose when I would choose mustard. Yeah, I understand that part.
I would
stay spicy. How about stadium mustard?
Stadium mustard, great.
So
I'm out on yellow mustard personally, but
you
to each their own.
Yellow mustard?
I don't like
me
it.
Too.
I've never enjoyed it.
What is the matter with you?
I've never enjoyed
it. No pickles, no yellow mustard.
It's not. It must be that flavor profile. Like I've never understood pickles, relish, any of that stuff. If you like to load your dogs up with that, I let you live.
I don't know about the relish part. I don't do that part. But the yellow mustard. Definitely.
Okay. I'm saying I'll take like the smokiness of a stadium mustard or something like that. I'd rather have that. But I'll put ketchup on a hot dog. I don't care. I don't understand why. It's like, is it going in your mouth? No. So who cares? Cut that up, Dylan.
we already have you talking about your mouth plenty. We don't need to cut up anymore.
It's fine. I'm just saying, I don't understand why people like knock the hot dog out of your hand to be like, don't eat it that way. I mean, again, I'm making fun of you for not having a bun, but if you want to eat it that way, go ahead. I just don't understand it. Just don't tell me I can't have mine with a bun or ketchup or whatever I want to put on.
I had a friend that was telling me, we just had this conversation. He was like, yeah, I don't use ketchup or mustard. Because I was because if you know my kids, my youngest daughter doesn't use any condiments.
Okay.
She doesn't like any ketchup, mustard, nothing. Barbecue sauce, nothing.
Okay.
And it bothers me. It's like, why?
Yeah, a little condiment. It's usually
something
expected.
Something like something. Just to eat everything dry like that. I don't know. I don't understand the kid. But anyway,
it's my mouth. I can put it what I want when I want.
Thank you, Dylan.
You said that.
Yeah, I did. I stand by it.
Hey,
I stand by that.
Anyways, he was saying.
I like the fact that when I unwrap that thing, I can't fit my mouth around it.
See, there you go.
You see, there's plenty of stuff.
We don't need to add to it.
You said that.
I probably did. I like the fact that when I unwrap that thing, I can't fit my mouth around it.
What's wrong with that?
That's a tactical error.
No, it's not a tactical error. Whatever it was I was talking about, I'm sure I stand by it. I stand by it 100%. I stand by that 100%. I'm with it.
But anyways, he was saying he used barbecue sauce.
I could see. You know,
I told him I only do that for a Polish boy, which he's in Birmingham. I don't even know if you know what a Polish boy is.
Well, fair enough. Yeah, I the secret actual way to eat a hot dog, the best way, take your toothpicks, get you a little thing of bacon, a strip of bacon. Wrap the bacon around the hot dog, put the toothpicks in so it stays on the hot dog. Then we take ourselves a little bit of barbecue sauce and we baste that. And then we put that whole concoction on the grill till the bacon cooks and gets all crispy around it. Now you've got caramelized bacon around your hot dog, which is cooked inside. Then on your bun, you toast the bun and lay in some shredded, like Colby Jack. And then you put all of that, take the toothpicks out, put all that on your hot dog, toasted with the melty cheese on it.
You know what,
barbecue sauce, bacon.
I've never done that before, but I just wrote that all down.
I'm telling you, that's the actual way to do it. If you want to, you can put all your pickles and relish and vegetables on it. I just put more meat on it, is what I'd say.
When I heard you say that, it cleared up why you look the way you look. That's unnecessary.
Tyvus, it's not unnecessary.
Yeah, that's unnecessary.
The problem is not eating one of those. It's eating five of them, which is my problem.
I can't believe you just said
that thing is so thick. Yeah. I can barely get it in there.
That's right.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you out of line.
I think I'm perfectly in line.
You need to get some soap. Wash your mouth out.
You need to clean out whatever you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking over there. I'm fine. By the way, the Browns, good news. If you're a Browns fan who was worried about this, Deshaun Watson, I read this was an article from ESPN had it with Daniel Oyafusi and Jeremy Fowler. It's an article about Deshaun Watson and the comeback that he's trying to do. Watson apparently has sources close to him relayed this information to these reporters, said he understands why fans are frustrated.
Of course.
And he gets it. And you know what? He's not mad at you. He's not mad at anybody. He said he's understanding of why fans are frustrated. It's like, they also in this article said he holds no ill will towards the Browns organization.
Cap. If he becomes a starter and plays well, we'll find out.
Dude. I hope all the Browns fans can rest easy knowing that Deshaun Watson holds no ill will towards the organization that
pays
stupidly
him.
Gave him $235 million guaranteed when no one else in the NFL will. Such a ridiculous deal that the NFL got investigated for it for being corrupt. After Roger Goodell told all the owners, don't ever give someone a deal like that again. I'm glad to know Deshaun Watson, after multiple Achilles tears and interceptions and terrible games and an injury that involved like a globular nodule in his scapula. I don't even know what that is. Now we're supposed to feel like, oh, good news. Deshaun Watson doesn't hate you. Good. I still hate him. So congratulations. You don't hate me. I hate you.
You know what? So when I was.
Like, I don't care. I don't care that he doesn't like us. Go win games. Be good. Don't get injured.
So when I was playing, the great Urban Meyer used to always say that all the great players have their routine. Uh-huh. They got a routine that gets them ready for the game. And if you wonder why Deshaun Watson has not performed well.
Oh, I know what it is.
His routine got messed up.
24 allegations.
He got messed up. He can't get his massages. So that's why it's not translated.
Is he mad at the Browns for that? That they won't let him get it? By the way, I don't know if you know this. In his contract, he's not allowed to get a massage anywhere other than the team facility. That's a sign of a healthy adult, right? Where you can actually like...
Well, Kyler Murray got to watch a specific amount of hours. I guess he'll have to do it no more because he ain't in Arizona. But
Arizona had a clause about his video game play. Right. I'm just saying like... Oh, thank God Deshaun Watson has forgiven Browns fans for
they took it out.
Rightfully being frustrated at him for being terrible and injured and obviously not a great human being by all accounts, allegedly. I don't understand where this, thank God he's not mad at the Browns. Who cares? I'm still mad at you. Be good or don't play here anymore. By all means, leave after this season is over. Go away. I'll be fine with that.
I mean, you know what his salary is for this year.
$50 million.
Yeah, it is like 46 or 48. God, because they deferred all this salary because they thought, well, by the time we win all these Super Bowls, we won't care that we're paying him $46 million. Well, that never happened. Soon you'll be able to watch games on your phone that are also recorded with your phone. I'll explain next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hello and good Friday morning to you. For over an hour now, we've been watching a crash very closely just south of Grandview Heights. We're talking 670 westbound at 70, where two right lanes are still blocked out there. 15 miles per hour for your slowdowns on this early Friday morning. I know I don't like to see it for you. Instead, take this workaround. It will save you a bunch of time. 670 westbound to 315 southbound instead. Then take West Broad Street westbound all the way towards 70. Abney will get you going back towards that west side of Columbus. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
.org.
Comet Man has hosted shows with radio royalty, Spielman, Tor, T-Bone, just to name a few. So listen to his new show with Timmy Hall.
If man can pull this one off, he's a miracle worker.
Comet Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Enjoy the quiet in the morning as we head into the late morning and early afternoon. Rain will develop and will continue throughout the day. Could be heavy at times with some isolated thunderstorms, and we'll see breezy winds with highs in the mid-60s. And then for tonight, rain continues overnight with still thunderstorm chances, breezy winds, and lows in the upper 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
Matty Ice has a large tattoo on his calf of LeBron eating a lion.
I have nothing else to say.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Sometimes when Tybus wears khaki pants,
I can see the outline of his genitals.
There's no joke there. It's just an observation.
God, the more I resist, the more intriguing they become. I can't look away.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
All right. I'm going to tell you in a minute about how apparently the Big Ten could be playing even more conference games. That in a second, because I just saw this from Ross Dellinger, but let me pay off on my tease first, all right? Apple TV is going to present a special live Major League Soccer match exclusively on iPhone 17 Pros, okay? So they're going to broadcast live an entire game where all the cameras are iPhones. One, I didn't know you could do that. So I'm going to say that's bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But apparently they tested out. Apple has had, you know, Major League Baseball games.
Yeah.
So they've used Major League Baseball games. They haven't, I don't think they've, maybe they haven't used the Apple camera the entire time, the iPhone camera, but they've tested out a system. They have these little things you can put the camera on. It plugs in. It still works. Like, they have a cameraman who's going to move a camera stand around just like they would a normal camera, except all it's going to be is a little iPhone on there. But apparently they say it's to highlight the capability of the iPhone.
Yeah, they always, every time it comes out, it's, people will say, like, you never know, you could do a lot. You could dang near make a movie with your phone because the camera is supposed to be just that good.
Well.
And I never really bought into that, but I guess that's true.
I didn't either, and I don't know how this, what it is obviously, Apple is a sponsor of Major League Soccer. Apple has the games on, the MLS games are all on Apple TV. So clearly this is like a marketing partnership thing to boost their phone. They're going to do this tomorrow. They say it's a historic broadcast for the Galaxy Houston Dynamo game. They're going to broadcast that all on iPhones. So I hope that it fails. And I hope that I'm going to hate on that because I don't need cell phones to broadcast these. Why not use the best cameras possible to do this? Also, Apple, if you really want to do it, get an NFL game and then have the balls to do it for an NFL game. You know what I mean? It does feel like they're doing it for like a Major League Soccer game. Because they're like, well, if it goes bad, who cares? And that's wrong. I don't think your league partner should look at it that way, but whatever.
Let's see how good it really is.
Yeah, go ahead. Broadcast the Oscars next year. Get the rights to that and then broadcast those with iPhones and see how everybody receives that. I just hate it when they test it on a sports. Like, well, I don't know if anybody watches this. It's like, they do. And those fans will be pissed if that doesn't look right. So I hope it fails, and I hope that they never do this again. I think that's a dumb idea, but whatever. If you'd like it, great. Go watch it. It's on Apple TV.
This is this week's game?
Tomorrow's game. Tomorrow, Houston Dynamo are playing LA Galaxy. That is the game they're going to do this for.
I'll definitely go flip it on just to see what it looks like.
I do hope there's like a fan cam where it's just like, hey.
They go ahead, this dude. So
a drunk guy, and they're like, ah! Wait a Galaxy!
So the dude.
He turns the camera around, it's just on him, shirtless, sweating, with beer dripping off his chin.
So the people that sit in the little chairs.
With the cameras. They have a whole system.
It's going to be a foe.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not holding it. They do have like the controls on it and stuff.
Good. I have to see. What time is this game?
I actually don't know. But
I need to set an alarm.
Yes, go check it out.
Oh my goodness!
Because I honestly think this could be hilariously bad. Now, probably it'll go off. They've tested it. They have a way of doing this. They say that it won't be.
That man gonna be sitting on the little thing with just a little phone on a stand, rotating the phone.
Yeah, just. battery dies. Suddenly it's just like, oh, that phone doesn't work anymore. We had to charge the battery on it. You get a notification during the game and it's just bloop, bloop. Just getting notifications left and right.
I gotta look into this, man. Thank you, Bo.
I'm excited to see someone's like DoorDash order get done during the game where it just pops up on the screen and they're like, they're just ordering food to the stadium. So there's that. Now on to the Big Ten stuff. Ross Dellinger, who covers college football for Yahoo Sports, said there was a little nugget in this report that they did about, you know, Tony Petitti, some of the comments he's had. Obviously, the Big Ten has been talking a lot this week because they're having their little meetings. But Ross Dellinger pointed this out. He said the Big Ten discussed with its football coaches earlier this week the idea of playing 10 conference games, something that looms as the league and the SEC explore self-governance models.
Mm-hmm.
So the SEC has now started to come out and hint at the idea that maybe we better, if we just broke ranks and did it ourselves. Big Ten has obviously hinted at that as well. If they do that, the question is going to be, well, who are you going to play if you can't play all these other NCAA schools? If you go away from the NCAA, I mean, you can't just schedule, you know, Kent State necessarily to be on the schedule.
Hey.
I'm just pointing out they're going to still be in the NCAA. If you break away from them, you can't. You're going to have to fill the schedule out somehow.
But hold on. Whoa, Nelly.
Hey, so Keith Jackson.
Let me get this right.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that if the SEC decides to break away from the NCAA, they can't play nobody in the NCAA? They can't play none of them teams?
Do you think any of those schools would let them?
But Notre Dame don't got to be a part of a conference and they can play whoever they want?
Well,
I don't know how it's going to work. Teams in the NCAA still going to schedule them SEC schools because they understand that it's going to generate money for them. And they're definitely going to take the money. And I'm pretty sure the SEC is going to pay some of them schools to come beat them down.
The SEC. Yeah.
So with that being said, there you go. They ain't stopping this. No, because they're not doing it unless you stop Notre Dame first, and then talk to me about what the SEC do.
I don't know what would happen to Notre Dame if you had the Big Ten, the SEC break away.
They're gonna play the ACC.
Okay, great. Enjoy that. Have fun with that conference.
Ain't that what they're doing now?
But I'm saying, are we gonna have? Okay, it's the Big Ten, the SEC, oh, and Notre Dame's just going to also be a part of this. I thought they valued their independence. Har, har. Insert laugh here. Yeah. I wonder at some point if they do this and go to a system where it is just the big boys of college football, SEC, Big Ten, whatever. I feel like conference realignment would have to happen again. Because I feel like there would be schools like, I don't know, I'm not saying this school deserves to be in that conversation all the time, but
Miami,
Florida State, even like a North Carolina, they would say, hold on. We're a part of the big boys. We belong at that table. And I think they would probably dissolve the ACC and go on. Notre Dame would have to decide, are we going to join up and be a part of this super conference structure, or what are we doing?
They should adopt the, what was you telling me about? What's the league in soccer where if you win, you go up, and if you lose, you go down?
Pretty much every other league than the one we have in the U.S. has promotion and relegate. Like, literally, any country in South America, any country in Europe. Yes.
What they do is they take all the top 25 football schools, put them together, do the 2014 playoff, and whoever won out goes back to the...
Well, they have to go back to the NCAA. The crappy NCAA.
Here's the thing. I think this is just... hilarious. How long have we been talking about, eventually there's just going to be two super conferences in the sport? I think we're just one step towards that.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like you're just going to have the Big Ten. The way I can see this going is that you have the Big Ten. They're going to just play teams in the Big Ten. The Big Ten will then expand to, I don't know, 25, 30 teams.
Maybe 24. That'd be a nice number. They seem to like the number 24. Right?
And then so you only play those schools. The SEC will do the same thing. And then the winner of each conference will play each other. And then that's your national champion. It sounds like, I don't know, the AFC and the NFC and the NFL.
Which boggles my mind that the people who run college athletics cannot understand that college football is great because of its regular season. I don't think it matters as much. We're going to trade off actual good college games in college venues like Ohio State and Texas this year. That game is still exciting, even though there's a 12-team playoff, even though it doesn't have the same impact as if there were two or four or eight teams. I think everyone knows the stakes going into that game. I think everyone will be excited to see, you know, what Austin looks like, what Texas' stadium looks like, that atmosphere should be fun and good. We're going to trade games like that to get more games in December and January in NFL domes, basically, with fewer. I mean, there will be a lot of people in attendance for these games, but the atmosphere just won't rival a college atmosphere. You're losing the things that make college football special. And I'm not even talking, like, pay the players. I don't care about any of that. But at some point, if the marching band isn't there or if the home crowd isn't there, you know, like, we're just getting further and further away to a point where we are just going to become NFL light. And I don't think anyone who's ever tried to be NFL light has ever been successful. That's what all these spring football leagues don't get, is the college experience, even though maybe some of these guys aren't as good as the players who play professionally. That atmosphere is so vital. The game actually mattering is so vital. That's what makes college sports awesome. College football specifically. We're going to cut away with that from dividing up these conferences, going to 2014 playoffs. Like, you're like losing all that.
I feel like the biggest difference between college and pro is that more people are connected to college because, like, I went there.
Yeah.
Like, you the went NFL there, is you, a very, like, the only way you get in there is if you work in the front office or you're a player or coach. But, like, regular Joe Smo, I graduated from The Ohio State University, so therefore, I'm a Buckeye. Well, like, lose that. If I mean, that to me is the big difference between the two, and that's why I think more people connect to college football.
Well, to that point, one of the reasons that I think college football has been successful over the years is that parents bring their kids to games when they're young, and they say, "Hey, this is where I used to sit when I was a student. Hey, this is what this is what our stadium looked like. Hey, this is where we went after games." When you get rid of all that and you say, "Oh, actually, yeah, none of this is like what it was when I was here in college," then I could see that next generation saying, "Well, why does it matter if I come to this game or if I go to the neutral site game up in Cleveland? That seems like fun. I like the Brown Stadium. They got that new stadium in Brook Park. That's awesome." Like, you're going to get more of that, and it's going to take away.
Where we
going to
have a Super Bowl?
No, you're going to get college football games up there. We're going to play.
I take that Taylor Swift concert. It's going to be crazy. Dylan going to be there.
There you go.
You know it.
There you go. One college football coach keeps taking shots at other teams in the sport. We'll tell you who it is next and who he went after this time as well. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Noticing two incidents downtown right now. The first one's going to be a crash on 670 westbound at the Neal Avenue and Goodale Street spot. That left shoulder is currently blocked. Thankfully, not seeing any traffic with it. But also not too far away, another incident, as I mentioned, a disabled vehicle, 670 westbound at that 315 split northbound. That right shoulder is blocked as well. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell helped the Buckeyes win a national championship. T-Bone watched Tyvus Powell help the Buckeyes win a national championship. Equally important, you're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Sounding like for your Memorial Day weekend, if you want to cook out, you want to have a get-together, you want to be outside at all, it's going to be about windows of time. Right, it's not going to be about like, oh, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be
no. So Meredith Carfalo, 10TV meteorologist, 1 hour from now, is going to join us to kind of figure out when the best times are. If you want to go out, try to grill. We'll try to give you the latest updates on that. 1 hour from now with Meredith when she jumps on. Also coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to have our game show today. And are we taking a caller on this like we did the last few weeks?
I guess. Yeah,
right,
sure.
Why not? Okay. This time I'm doing the game show because the game show is real or fake IndyCar drivers in honor of the Indy 500. So, I mean, I know all these. I know most of these drivers, but Dylan, are you a big IndyCar fan?
No.
Tyvus, are you a big IndyCar fan?
Yeah.
Big IndyCar fan?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Great. Who won last year?
Lewis Hamilton.
That's actually 100% correct.
Oh, no. I'm concerned.
It is not 100% correct. He's in a different sport. He doesn't drive on the ovals. No.
Well, the fact that I believed it makes it even worse. Sounds like a great answer.
All right, we'll find out. 7:45. You'll have a chance to win, though. We'll tell you how to do that coming up. But I saw Steve Sarkisian. He went in on Texas Tech. Did you see this quote that he had?
No.
He didn't actually have the guts to say Texas Tech, but he was talking.
And
he's saying
soft.
It.
Soft.
He is soft. Yes, I agree with you. So this is per Anwar Richardson had this report. Said the Longhorns head coach said, quote, "There's a team in our state that plays in another conference that has a schedule that I would argue if I played with our twos and our threes, we could go undefeated, and they'll probably make the college football playoffs this year.
Whoa.
Now, the school he is talking about would appear to be Texas Tech.
And it could be Baylor.
You Why think not? So?
Let me look. Hold on.
You think that's right? You think that's the case? You think he's going after Baylor when Texas Tech is spending more money than God and has a gambling quarterback on their roster?
I hear Houston's supposed to be good this year. Yeah, maybe he's talking about them.
No, he's talking about the team that made the playoffs before and is probably going to make it again this year, Texas Tech.
Let's look at Texas Tech record. I mean, schedule.
Okay, go ahead.
Tyvus' favorite game.
We love this.
They're playing a Christian school to start? Okay.
What's wrong with that? TCU's a tough Notre Dame.
I ain't saying nothing.
Maybe it's Notre Dame. I mean, they're Catholic,
All
but Catholic
I said was
Christian.
They played a Christian school to start.
Who is it?
Abilene Christian.
There we go.
Oregon. Maybe he's talking about them. Abilene Christians in Texas.
Yeah, they're in Texas. Maybe that's it. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Next game, Oregon State.
Okay.
Don't they got a
back in the Pac-12?
Isn't Drew Mestermaker there?
No, that's Oklahoma State.
Well, they got them too on this game.
Sidebar, real quick: is the Pac-12 back this year? I thought it was. I think it is.
I thought they were having legal issues with that.
No. I think they're back. All right, you keep talking. I'm going to figure this out. Go ahead.
Next game, Houston.
Yeah.
The next, Sam Houston.
No. They're playing Houston and Sam Houston back to back. That's no. Can't do that. Well, hey, That's stupid.
Both at Texas Tech. Next game, Colorado. We'll see what Prime get going.
Okay.
Von Bell's there as well.
Shout out to Von.
Changing the culture. That's right. Yeah.
Arizona State. They scrappy.
They just lost their quarterback in the portal to LSU.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they ain't going to beat them, man. Never mind. Cincinnati. Sorsby's gone.
But that's probably, he would have been gone either way.
He would have been there. He would have been at Texas Tech.
That's I know.
Interesting. But I didn't know they were on their schedule.
It's the Sorsby Bowl, and neither of them may have him because he may be in the NFL supplemental draft at that point.
After that, Arizona, scrappy. West Virginia, scrappy. Yeah. Oklahoma State, they got Drew Mestermaker. Baylor got DJ Lagway.
That's right. TCU.
By the way, when he said Cincinnati, my thought was, why is Texas Tech playing Cincinnati so late in the schedule? The answer is because they play in the same conference.
My old mind can't wrap my head around that.
Cincinnati's in the Big 12.
I still can't. By the way, the Pac-12 is coming back. Oregon State, Washington State, along with Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, San Diego State, Texas State, and Utah State. Apparently, you have to be a state school to play in this conference, it appears. And Gonzaga will join them for basketball season only, but whatever.
So this season, the Pac-12 is back.
Pac-12 is back.
So the Power 5 is back.
I don't know if I'd call that lineup power.
There's only 8 schools in it.
They're not the good ones.
I don't remember. It's sad that it's only 2 schools, and I can't tell you who won the conference.
In the Pac-12, did they have a championship last year?
Washington State and Oregon State had a championship. They played each other twice.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
God,
they might have split. I don't know. Terrible. I just pulled that out. I know they played each other twice. I don't know what the record was.
Now, as far as with Steve Sarkisian, him too, what he actually said about Texas Tech, or allegedly about Texas Tech, like, Steve, one, you lost to Florida last year, a team that had to fire its head coach. They were so bad. So don't give me that you could just go out there and beat anybody. Now, I know because the school that fired its head coach and was awful last year was in the SEC. He's supposed to get credit for losing to them because, wow, that's just such a tough conference. But when you actually had Texas in the Big 12, I think a couple years before you moved to the SEC, how did that school do when it was in the Big 12? Did it just run away and dominate everybody? I don't think that was the case. So let's just calm down on we could beat with anybody on the schedule with our twos and threes. I don't know that you could because I don't think you've proven that. I don't think you have the right to chirp like that.
Texas lost to Florida last year.
That's what I just said. Yeah.
You could have just stopped right there.
That's all you need to hear.
Because all they talk about is they keep blaming us for the reason why they didn't make the playoffs, but not the fact that they lost to Florida.
Can I ask a question? Are you willing to admit that the Cavs are not better than the Knicks? I know we said like an hour ago, you were like,
I said the Cavs
are not better than the Knicks. And you were like, you said that essentially.
You think the Knicks is better than the Cavs?
Yes, they've proven it multiple times.
I don't think they are.
The Cavs are down to 0-2 in this series, and The Knicks have wiped the floor with the last team they played. All right,
so let me ask you this. Is the Pistons better than the Cavs? They were up 2-0 in the series.
I don't think they are.
They were up 2-0 in the series.
They were. But we said going into that series,
what are we talking about here?
We said going into that series, the Pistons were not as good. Damn the record.
Number one seed.
Doesn't matter. It's the NBA regular season. Lots of things happen. We know who the better team has not been.
About the Knicks. You just told me that they had the better season.
I'm saying they have been playing better of late. They just swept through the Sixers, and now they've taken the Cavs two games. The first game, obviously, they didn't play well. Still got the victory. Epic comeback last night. They tried to shut down Jalen Brunson. The Cavs did by double teaming him, and they got beat by Josh Hart. They got weapons. They got killers.
I don't think
the Cavs don't have it.
I don't think they got weapons.
Okay. That's fine. I'm excited to see the Cavs eventually turn this into what? Sweep 4-1?
We'll see. Game 4 will be the deciding factor. Okay. Just like it was with Detroit. I walk away from them games kind of encouraged. Like, the third quarter was just terrible. But if they put together four quarters and play well for four quarters, like it's not a lack of talent thing at all. And I still try to figure out how Evan Mobley did not take a shot in the second half.
Why do you think he didn't? Lights are too bright.
It's not him. He got to be more aggressive. That's the thing. To me, he needs to be more assertive. He needed to man the ball.
Well, Kenny Atkinson's too busy saving his timeouts for situational stuff at the end of halves and games.
Because if Evan going to be the future of this team, you need to let Evan take that moment right now.
They don't really believe that.
Well, then they should have traded him then.
Yes, I know. You're still mad about that. I'm with you. But they didn't. And now they're here. And now they're going to lose to the Knicks. It feels like in five is what it feels like. They'll get one game.
Knicks,
they'll lose in five.
Bricks, Chicks, Cavs, and six.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Man. They're going to win four in a row,
okay.
Huh?
If you're right on that, that will be a pretty great prediction. I just don't think that's likely. I don't think it at all. All right, game show coming up next. Here's what I need from you. Need someone, one person who wants to play to win. I don't know what we're giving away, Dylan. We'll give away your breakfast again, I guess. If you have to pick between two people here, you're basically betting on one of us to get the answers right. If you get that right, you win the prize. 614-821-9710 is the phone number. Our game show coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Yet again, another crash happening on 670 westbound. This time around, it's happening at 33, right before that 70 split just south a little of Grandview Heights. We have two left lanes that are currently blocked for you. And yes, we are seeing backups building towards that 670 and 315 slot. If you can, just take this detour. Speaking of 315, get off 670, take 315 southbound to West Broad Street, then head towards that ramp to get you back going westbound on 70. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
I don't know.
Download the Fan app, silly.
Ah, damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Tyvus has a bum wrist from playing football. Bone has a bum wrist from opening the heavy doors at Sheetz. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, now is the time to call if you want to get your garage transformed. Not just repaired, not just fixed, transformed. You can do that with a gleaming new Comer and Cross garage floor. In just one day, they will fix all the exposed concrete with those stains and cracks, maybe even a bad epoxy or paint job. They can fix it in one day. Comer and Cross will come in, and they will get you taken care of. 50% off installation right now when you call them at 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. That's 1-800-NEW-FLOOR for 50% off installation. And Comer and Cross guaranteed to never chip, crack, or show tire lift like those other guys. So get it done today. 1-800-NEW-FLOOR. 50% off installation, or you can check them out online, comercross.com. That's comercross.com. Ready to play the game show today?
I am. Okay. Me versus Dylan.
All right. Dylan is going to play. I'm going to actually do the questions today. Dylan, who do we get on the line?
Kevin.
Kevin, you are playing for Dylan's breakfast, which I don't know exactly how much breakfast he's going to eat today because he already got breakfast from Fish. But our boss Fish brought in breakfast, but we'll just say this. The way the game works, I'm going to ask them two IndyCar driver names. One's real, one's fake. They have to guess which one that is. And I'm going to go alternate, so back and forth between the two of you. But here's the thing, Kevin, you have to pick out the over-under on questions they combined get right. I'm going to set the over-under at 6.5, so they have to get 7 or more correct. We take the over or the under there?
Whew. I'll take the under.
Wow. Yeah, under's
wow. Everybody here we go. Time.
Under's good.
Now chips like on our shoulder now.
Now I got to get it.
All right. We're actually going to start off with Dylan, since we are playing for his breakfast. All right, Dylan, here's the first couple of drivers. Ooh. One of these is a real, and not just any IndyCar driver. One of these won the Indy 500. Mm. One of them is a name I just made up, okay? First two. Howdy Wilcox or Wheeler Troutwine. One of those is a real IndyCar driver.
Hey.
One of them is a made-up name. Howdy Wilcox or Wheeler Troutwine, which one is for real?
Having the name Wheeler and being a driver, that's just too much of a slam dunk for me. That's too easy.
So you're going with Wheeler Troutwine?
No. I'm going the other way. Reverse psychology.
Howdy Wilcox?
Yes.
That's right.
Good job.
Yeah. Howdy Wilcox.
Wait, what's it set at? Over, under, set at?
6.5.
6.5. We're at 1.
Howdy Wilcox won the 1919 Indy 500 in a Peugeot. Average speed that year, 88 miles an hour.
In a what?
A Peugeot.
Is that a type of car?
Yeah, it is a type. It looks like Peugeot if you spelled it, but it's a French company. Peugeot. Anyway. Okay. Yeah.
More Peugeot. Like Puma.
Peugeot. Next up, Tyvus. Grover Fitzgerald or Ralph DePalma. One of these is an Indy 500 champion. One of them's fake. Grover Fitzgerald or Ralph DePalma.
Let's go Ralph.
You guys are 2 for 2. Bang, look at that.
I know it. See, you didn't think I knew it.
Ralph DePalma won the Indy 500 in 1915. This is bad for the caller, though, because he took the
That's
under.
That's what he gets.
That's
what he gets.
Kevin, I'm sorry. I don't know. I apparently didn't make these tough enough. Dylan, back to you. Number 3, Stumpy Kruger or Buddy Lazier. Which one is the real Indy 500 champion?
Stumpy Kruger.
Stumpy Kruger or Buddy Lazier?
I'm going to go with Stumpy Kruger. I like that name.
Ooh, sorry. It was, in fact, Buddy Lazier. He won in 1996 driving a Holman Ford. Average speed in that one, a little faster, 147 miles per hour that race.
I could see Kevin just smiling through the phone. Uh-huh. He over there just grinning.
We're back to you, Tyvus. Garrett Eck or Scott Dixon? Garrett Eck or Scott Dixon? Which one is the real Indy 500 winner?
Scotty doesn't know.
So?
Give me Scotty.
Oh, you're going to take Scott Dixon, even though he doesn't know. You believe in him?
Yeah.
Scott Dixon.
I know NASCAR. Why are y'all playing with me?
He knows NASCAR so much.
So much
playing an IndyCar
game. This is an IndyCar game.
I know it all.
I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take that point back. Scott Dixon won 2008 in a Dallara Honda, average speed that year, 143 miles an hour. That does factor in cautions for whatever it's worth. Dylan, back to you. Indy 500 winner or fake driver? Here are the names: Ari Leyendyke or Elliot Zephyr. Ari Leyendyke or Elliot Zephyr. Which one's the real Indy 500 winner?
Elliot Zephyr sounds like an Indy 500 car guy. I'm going with that.
So sorry.
Oh my goodness.
Ari the Flying Dutchman Leyendyke, two-time winner. He won in 1990 and 1997.
So, I just threw us off the pace.
You did. Now there's 5 questions left, and you need to get
4 of them.
Hey. Gotta get 7. A little too confident early on, Mr. NASCAR. It's back to you.
Yeah.
All right, Tyvus. The next two names: Indy 500 winner or fake driver, Keith Huckleberry or Will Power.
Man, I know this one.
Will Power or Keith Huckleberry? Which one is the real Indy 500 winner?
They both sound legit. What's the first one again?
Keith Huckleberry.
Give me that one.
Oh,
dang it,
buddy! Will Power.
I knew that one. He's super successful.
Yeah, he's won in 2018 in a Dallara Chevrolet, average speed of 166 miles an hour. His name is literally Will Power, but that is actually his real name. And I think that's hilarious.
Why I ain't believe in it.
All right. Dylan, it's back to you. You cannot miss now. All on the line. Next up, Duke Herky Jerky Hirsch or Bill Cummings? Which one is the real Indy 500 winner? Duke Herky Jerky Hirsch or Bill Cummings?
I don't think you're clever enough to come up with a nickname like Herky Jerky. So we're going to go with option A here.
Duke Herky Jerky Hirsch.
Yes.
Congratulations to Kevin. He's getting breakfast.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The Herky Jerky was fake. Bill Cummings, though, won the Indy 500 in 1934, driving a Miller. I guess it was a car. It's also a beer. Anyway, average speed of 104 miles an hour. Congrats, Kevin.
You got lucky.
You're going to win Dylan's breakfast, so I'm just glad Dylan isn't going to eat it. I feel bad, though, because I had more names. You want to play the rest of the game just in case?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, we got 2 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Eddie Cheever or Chet Sterling?
Chet.
Wrong. Eddie Cheever won in 1998. Sam Hornish Jr. or Simeon Colson?
Sam Hornish Jr.
Now that's
I'd recognize that.
Saving money in Menards. He used to I think he drove a car that involved a Menards car at one point. Maybe a NASCAR. Anyway, his nickname was Horny, for what it's worth. Finally, just because I like these names. Oral Beaverwick or Gordon Johncock? Which one is the Indy 500 winner? That's for both of you.
I'm going with the first one just because it sounds crazy.
Oral Beaverwick?
Yep.
Although that's a good name. Gordon Johncock, two-time winner, 1973 and 1982. One of the closest finishes in Indy 500 history.
So Gordon Johncock.
Gordon Johncock, yeah. Okay. Hearing the announcers go, Johncock, down the stretch it! Yeah, that's just fun for me. I like it. All right.
Who's the favorite to win this year?
I thought you were going to ask me that, and I looked it up, and I forgot. No. Alex Palou, who is your defending champion, he won last year. He is plus 250 to win the race. After him, it's Pato O'Ward, who's been close so many times.
I don't know none of that.
Plus 600. Connor Daly, who's always a local favorite. He's always fast there. He is an Indianapolis kid. He is 7-1 odds, plus 700. David Malukas, hotshot young driver who's now driving for Penske, who's always fast there. He's at plus 800. And Alexander Rossi at 9-1 odds. Alexander Rossi had a crash in practice this week that sent him to the hospital, but he came out of it. They cleared him yesterday, and he said, I'm driving.
I thought he played for the crew.
No, that would be Diego Rossi. Ah, that's a different guy.
It ain't no Jeff Gordon or Jimmy Johnson.
Those are NASCAR drivers.
Where's Danica Patrick? She doesn't race anymore.
Danica Patrick did drive in the Indy 500. She led laps. Yeah. Kevin got lucky. By the way, the guy you should be rooting for, I hope everyone is around here, is a guy by the name of Graham Rahal. He is 80-1 odds to win. He doesn't have the best qualifying spot right now, but that's a Columbus dude. Bobby Rahal, Graham Rahal, the Rahal family, Columbus legends. I'm rooting for them. All right. Good game show. Congrats to Kevin, our winner. He gets your breakfast. And or something else. We'll find out. What's the likelihood that a Buckeye wins the Heisman this year? We'll talk about it next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Looking at a new crash out there. This time it's just on the east side, right by the airport and just outside of Gahanna. The left lane is blocked on 270 southbound, just passing Eastern Way after a crash out there. Folks, though, take it nice and easy if you're heading southbound. Your road's at least looking nice out there. 71 south, especially between Frank Road and 270. It is only a 2-minute commute on this Friday. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your family.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. The Cleveland Cavaliers dropped Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the New York Knicks 109-93. The Cavs are now down 2-0 in the series and will look to bounce back in Game 3 from Cleveland tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Western Conference Finals is back on tonight. The Oklahoma City Thunder will travel to San Antonio for Game 3 with the series tied at 1. Tip-off is scheduled for 8:30. And the Cleveland Guardians beat the Detroit Tigers 3-1 yesterday to earn the series sweep and their 6th win in a row. They'll start a weekend series in Philadelphia tonight, while the Cincinnati Reds had yesterday off, but will host the St. Louis Cardinals tonight with first pitch at 6:40. This update was sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reach your health and weight goals with Reclaim by Awaken 180, a 10-week medication-free plan. Visit Awaken180weightloss.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
T-Bone would like to take a second to remind everyone that Eddie George is awesome and that Ronnie James Dio was an American treasure. And that pickles are gross. Thank you. Here's T-Bone and Tybus.
Saw in the YouTube chat, comes from Rusty, said, I pulled a Tybus this morning, went to get in the car and ripped my pants. Time to finally start that diet on Tuesday.
If he ripped his pants, that ain't no Tybus. That's SpongeBob.
That's me. Remember I told you guys to start ripped my pants when I was working in the press box of the Blue Jackets game.
Oh, God, yeah, you did.
Yes, yeah. And I blamed you guys.
Yes, because we fed you food.
Exactly.
Well, fish is the culprit this morning.
Yeah, he brought us fish.
I'm getting close to my peak weight.
Fish brought it. Me too.
You know why that is?
Why?
It's because you're in a really happy relationship.
Is that why?
That's exactly
too
why.
Too much eating out.
Yeah.
Gotta stop feeding her. Stop taking her out to dinner.
Maybe she needs to break up with you, and then you'll feel bad, and then you'll want to get in shape to win her back.
Or I'll just go into a state of depression.
My wife and I have actually thought about that. We're like, if we both get to a point where we think there's no return from, which maybe I've already hit that, but she's suggested this before, and I think it's actually a great strategy, is we should both get divorced and then go out in the single world, and then we'll both realize how good we had it, but we'll have to lose weight. And then after we do that, then we can go back together and then we'll be in better shape. That's the idea. Or in my case, I'll just be sad that we got divorced and I'll just eat myself into oblivion and she'll meet me. She'll be in shape and I'll be in a rascal.
Is that what you do?
Basically what I'll
when
do.
You sad, you eat your sad, your
yes.
sorrows.
This is just piles of sadness, Tybus. That's all you're, this is every Browns loss from the last 25 years. They did this to me and Jackets loss and crew loss and
what
Buckeye
is,
loss.
What has been your, what is your typical peak weight? What's your prime? If you could get down to a certain weight, what would it be?
You know what's crazy? When I was in high school, no one would believe this. When I was in high school, I weighed a buck 75. But now, yeah, see, okay.
Also
you were
the same.
A little taller. You guys are taller than me, though, but still. But then, no, I was down a few years ago in the 280s, and that was, for me, the lowest I'd been since probably just after high school.
And that, so right now,
getting back to that would be good.
If you could pick a weight to stay at for the rest of your life, what would
I'd probably go down to 250.
250?
250 would be great. I think
225. 225.
I want to be 200 on the nose.
Okay. There we go.
Well, you're not that far away, right?
I'm close to 210, are you? I'm getting there. I'm definitely closer to 210 than 200. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. That's all right. You know what? That's fine. We're all on our weight loss journeys or our health care journeys. That's fine. We're all just trying to do what we can. And we're doing a lot of it by ordering fast food whenever we can to this radio station and eating it. So there's that. I saw a big article on ESPN. This, I feel like, is kind of nice news to hear if you're a college football fan like us. The Ohio State season yesterday marked 100 days until, I guess not Ohio State, but until college football comes back. 100 days from yesterday is the return of college football. So that means today we're in double digit days, 99 days to go, which is pretty good. So ESPN had a big article on the 100 days until week zero, top storylines, games, and predictions for the 2026 season. And they just had the list of a bunch of different things, storylines to watch, coaches that are going to be on the hot seat. But they also had their early Heisman contenders.
Dante Moore, number one.
That is incorrect. Let me give you their top 10.
Archibald.
We'll go in descending order. Number 10, Sam Leavitt, quarterback at now LSU. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, number 9. John Mateer, quarterback at Oklahoma, number 8. Darian Mensah, now at Miami, previously Duke quarterback, at number 7. Julian Sain from the Buckeyes at number 6. Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver, number 5.
Go Bucks.
Trinidad Chambliss, quarterback at Ole Miss, apparently. Guess the court rulings all came down his way. He's number 4. Dante Moore at Oregon, quarterback, number 3. C.J. Carr in Notre Dame, their quarterback at number two. And, of course, as you said, Archibald Manning. Arch Manning,
Dylan's
number one.
Boy.
Now, I'm curious what you think on the likelihood that Jeremiah Smith could do. What could he possibly do this year to win the Heisman Trophy?
He would need to go for 1,700 yards, 17 touchdowns, and about 90 catches.
Okay. I mean, I think that's... I don't even know if that would do it.
I don't think that's enough.
I think it is.
Devonta Smith had 117 catches, 1,800 yards, and 23 touchdowns, and he's the last wide receiver to win it.
I'm just saying, I wonder with all the quarterbacks that are out there, and there may be a dark horse that wasn't even on this list who could have a monster season out of nowhere. This award just seems like everyone wants to give it to a quarterback if they can. I wonder what the odds would be like, honestly, for Jeremiah Smith. I know what the odds are, like, money's on it, all that stuff, but what is the true likelihood that these voters for the Heisman Trust, no matter what Jeremiah Smith does, how much, honestly, because some of them will go, well, who's throwing him the ball? Julian Sayin might be the best quarterback. Like, if he's having a tremendous season, there will be people who will say Julian Sayin is the best quarterback in college football. If the Buckeyes are playing great.
They didn't say that about Mac Jones, did they?
Not necessarily, but I think Julian Sayin already being a Heisman finalist last year, don't you think that will also have him on people's radars? I'm just pointing out that they like to vote for quarterbacks so much. If Jeremiah Smith has the season that we'd all love him to see him have, he's already had two great seasons. If he adds to that by having a historic college football season, I just wonder if the vote won't get split between him and Julian Sayin, and then some other quarterback who's just also having a tremendous year will kind of come up between the two of them and end up winning the Heisman.
Well, Tyvus mentioned Mac Jones, and I mentioned Devontae Smith winning it that year, and I feel like that's just the most recent example of a wide receiver winning it. That's why I keep referencing that. But Mac Jones finished third. So it is possible for both of them to be in New York and Jeremiah Smith still win it, but it's doesn't seem likely.
Well, no. I don't understand.
Was Shador on there when Travis Hunter won it?
I don't think Shador was a Heisman finalist.
If he, I don't think he went to
I'm
the ceremony.
Sure he wasn't.
Might have been like top 10 in the voting or something, but like, I don't think he was, I don't think he was going to New York, that kind of thing. They also put in here their top 10 storylines for this season for college football. See if any of these, if you think these are top 10 storylines for you, Tyvus. Number 10, they have the Pac-12 relaunching. Sorry.
Nah, I could care less.
Yeah. Okay. Miami reloading at quarterback. I mean, Miami will be a story. They were obviously very good last year. They went out and Darian Mensah.
Mensah is a good. He has a chance to be in that top quarterback talk because he can spin it.
I am interested in Miami being like just a mercenary position at quarterback. Like they're just bringing in
every
a
year
fourth, fifth year guy every year. And then
pay
he goes
somebody.
To the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's another team that's doing that too to great success. We'll talk about them in a second. They also have Matt Campbell rising.
At Penn State,
and then
James
Franklin rebounding at Virginia Tech.
I am interested to see that one. That one's going to be interesting to see Matt Campbell at Penn State.
I don't know that it's going to be a year one turnaround.
I don't think so either.
Well, let me rephrase. I think they could win 8 or 9 games
because their schedule.
Yeah, they could. They could obviously maybe even more than that. They could.
Oh, Tyvus, we ain't got time for this.
Tyvus loves this game.
It's weak. Just trust us that it's weak, please.
No,
we don't need to go through 12 games.
I got to see it to believe it.
We can't even say schedule around it, but he's like, no. Let me look it up right now.
Let me look it up right quick. Marshall, Temple, Buffalo, Wisconsin, Northwestern, USC, Wolverines, Purdue, Washington, and it is pretty favorable.
It's soft. Yeah. It's soft.
Pretty favorable.
Belichick in year two is one of the storylines they have. I mean, I don't know. I kind of lost interest after he just showed up to be very awful and bad. Like, I don't really know what more. Like, if it's another year of that, do you think they move on from him? I guess that's the intrigue. But
you have to.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't know what they have to do out there in North Carolina because it's not the basketball program. I don't know if they care about it as much. Number six, they have Dante Moore in Oregon running it back, which, sure, that could be a storyline. I mean, wake me up when the playoffs start and they actually beat someone, because every year we get hyped about them in the offseason, and then they go out and destroyed by someone good.
The only thing with Dante Moore I want to see is, does he take the number one quarterback spot in the draft over Arch?
They're top five storylines for college football this year. Texas Tech, Brandon Sorsby.
He might not be there.
Right. Manning in Texas, and that's what they say, was the gambling, you know, stuff there. Manning in Texas at 4, Kyle Whittingham at Michigan at 3, SEC coaching changes just with Lane Kiffin and all these other guys moving around, And the number one thing is, can Indiana stay on top?
No.
That's the team that also does the mercenary quarterback thing. They did that 2 years ago with the dude from OU, then last year with Fernando Mendoza to much greater success. And now they've got, what's his face? The dude from TCU, Josh Hoover. So find out if it works for Indiana. I tend to think, I'm not as down on them as a lot of other Buckeye fans. Like, I don't think they'll be bad this year. I think they'll still be like an 11-win team and be very tough and may lose one or two regular season games, be in the playoffs, and be a tough out.
You think they only going to lose one game in the regular season?
You know what? I said one or two.
Right. That's right.
I said one or two.
You got them beating the Buckeyes.
He does. I said one or two.
I forgot about that.
Losing one or two games. One or two of them could be to Ohio State. What is their? What am I saying here? What other games are they losing?
I mean, look. Hold on.
Play the schedule game. You know what?
They toughest games is Ohio State, Wolverines, USC, Washington, A&M.
Okay, I'm saying they probably can get 10 or 11 wins again this year.
Three for sure.
Okay, yeah. I'm just saying I'm not as down on them as other people are. I think they're still going to be very, very good, but that's the beauty of the college football season. For now, it still matters, the regular season, what actually happens. That won't be the case when we go to 24 teams. Some people who should just shut up. Morning Breath is coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Right now, still noticing some slowdowns just south of Grandview Heights out there after a crash. 670 westbound at 33 and right before that 70 split, two left lanes. That's because are currently blocked out there. If you can, just get off 670 and take that southbound direction of 315. Then West Broad Street will get you back going westbound on 70 towards that west side. Also, for our Southsiders, a crash happening in your area, too. We're talking 270 westbound beyond Elm Creek Drive. That left lane is blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your family.
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, June 11th, and all email submissions must be in by June 1st. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Enjoy the quiet in the morning as we head into the late morning and early afternoon. Rain will develop and will continue throughout the day. Could be heavy at times with some isolated thunderstorms, and we'll see breezy winds with highs in the mid-60s. And then for tonight, rain continues overnight with still thunderstorm chances, breezy winds, and lows in the upper 50s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Sometimes it's better if people just shut up.
Shut up!
It's time for Morning Breath.
Quite a few candidates this week. I think certainly there's always a candidacy for us on the show, but this one, the one I want to highlight today, comes from Lane Kiffin. He was on Pardon My Take, and he was comparing the SEC schedule to the Big Ten schedule and comparing the two conferences, and you'd be shocked to find, as someone who's coaching in the SEC and has been for years, he thinks the SEC is tougher.
I think it's set up in a good way for the top heavy teams there right now. I think now, and it's going to get better. We're going to 9 games, and our bottom is harder than theirs. Okay, and our bottom stadiums, you know, are harder than theirs. So we're going to beat each other up more. And they're going to sit up there and have 2-3 hard games a year, you know. And so their top teams and our top teams, when they go to the playoffs, okay, they're in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff matters. You know, it's why, like, I've always been a proponent to stay at 8 games and let us make our own whoever we want to play in knockout. Don't tell us who we have to play.
Right.
And we would do, like, the model of the last place I was just at. Look at we went 20-0 in non-conference regular season games at Ole Miss. 20-0. We didn't play any of them big, like, openers. This place went, in a 4-year span, lost 3 of 4 openers.
Yeah, they played hard games at the openers.
So you play, yeah, that's so great, whatever. Well, you don't get rewarded for it because it's not worth it enough in the strength. But also, that schedule where half your games you don't have to get up for, it's just a mental toll that you got to play when you're getting up for. Plus also, man, your good players are out by the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So your play count at the end of the year is less. One of the really good teams there rested a couple of their good players in games in conference games at the end of the year.
Okay,
so there is a song by Justin Timberlake that goes, "Cry me a river."
Yep.
That's how I feel. You know what, though? I like it. You know what? You know what? If I was sitting there and I heard him say this, I said, you know what? I have no argument with what you're saying about y'all having the y'all bottom is better than our bottom. Guess what? We won the last three national championships. I don't see that changing any soon. If you want to win a national championship and you think your conference is that tough, you should leave.
Right.
You should leave and go to the Big Ten or go to the Big 12 since you want to be fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, supposedly this is where all the easy coaching is up here. I always find this argument so ludicrous because back when the SEC was winning everything every year, they were dominating college football, you know, most of the last 15 years or so prior to NIL. That reign, what was the number one talking point about why the SEC was so good and why when they played some of these schools from elsewhere, they were so tough? The answer was because look how tough our conference schedule is.
Oh, yeah.
Our conference schedule prepares us better than all these soft schools all around the country. When we play them, we've been through everything. They've been through nothing.
You know what it seems like to me?
What's that?
Seems like they playing checkers and the Big Ten's playing chess. That's what it sounds like to me.
Look at that.
They value the regular season in a place that's about to be unvalued when they go to 24 anyways.
Well, there's that.
So, yeah, why not get you some rest games? I mean, you got a cupcake week and nobody say nothing about that.
There's another reason why the SEC is in shambles is because normally they have their rhetoric together and everyone is normally having the same excuse. This offseason, I've heard a litany of excuses. It's NIL. There's more money in the North. And now it's their bottom's better, to quote Lane Kiffin. their bottom's harder.
Their bottom is harder.
Their bottom is harder. I can almost guarantee coming out of SEC Media Days, they will get their stuff together and they will have one uniformed excuse. But they have a couple to choose from now.
No, I have long said this, that the SEC is a conspiracy theory. Because like if you go to a flat earth person, you say, look at this. This shows you that the earth is round. They go, oh, that photo is manipulated. Oh, that space photo, you believe that? That's nothing. There's astronauts that just went, nope, they're lying. They're all paid. There's nothing you can say to them that changes their mind, which is why it's a conspiracy theory. Because they cannot, no matter what evidence you show them, they just go back to Earth is flat. And that is what the SEC fans are. You show them, hey, they won in the bowl games. Big Ten beats the SEC in bowl games. We don't care about bowl games. Doesn't matter. But when they win in the bowl games, they go, see, that's proof of the SEC's dominance over the Big Ten. Like, there's no way. When you win three straight national championships as a conference, well, that shows you that your conference is weak and soft and you have no competition, and that's why you regularly destroy teams like Alabama in the playoffs, well, Indiana.
This used to be one of the things that bothered. Like, when the SEC people talked about stuff like that, about their conference is stronger and all that, it used to bother me. Because it was like, well, they are winning the thing, so they can say whatever they want. Now, I don't care. I don't care what you say. Your conference could be 1,000 times better. At the end of the day, I see a Big Ten team winning the championship 3 years in a row looking to make it 4.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we are the best. Yeah, it is what it is.
To Tyvus's point, let them say their conference is better. But who cares if the teams at the top are better? I don't care if Vanderbilt was better than Purdue last year.
Yeah, I really don't.
Why does that matter?
It doesn't.
I just want them to be consistent. And it's the same people who 5 years ago were telling us that the SEC is so tough, that's why they win everything, is now saying the SEC is so tough, that's why we lose everything. And you can't use the same addition and get you can't add the same numbers together and get a different number every time. That's what they're doing in the SEC, which explains a lot. By the way, my friends at Window Nation, they will help you add up to hopefully some savings on your energy bills. Right now, of course, the weather, it's up and down. It's been warmer. We got some rain coming in, but you know the summer's just about here and you're going to be running your AC a lot more. If you have energy efficient windows from Window Nation, that can help you over the long run, not just in the summer, but in the winter too, when you're running your heat, to save money on your energy bills by keeping some of that air that you are making the temperature you want, keeping that air in your house. Window Nation's buy 4 windows, get 4 free sales going on now. You can replace your old drafty windows with great windows from Window Nation, and they can replace all those windows in your home, and you could get half of them for free. Plus, you could get zero down payment, no payments or interest for 2 years from Window Nation. It's a great deal, and it's a great time to get them right now. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and of course, they can install these windows in just a day. Schedule your fast free consultation now. WindowNation.com. Once again, that's WindowNation.com.
Kevin in the chat said, when do I get the breakfast that I want? Aren't we shipping him
We'll get it to you.
Yeah, we're getting them.
No, we're actually buying the breakfast now, and then we're going to put it in a UPS box.
Yeah, we're going to
send it. Actually, we're going to do the 10-day mail, and then you're going to get whatever's left of it, rotted and moldy. We'll put it in a box.
We'll
send you a gift card. Yeah, we'll send you a gift card.
Speaking of food in a moldy box, we didn't ever update the. Remember the other day when we were going to eat pizza?
Did. I think. Man and Timmy.
Yeah,
did.
There was pizza.
We did
out
get
there.
An update on it.
Where
yes.
was it from?
Granddad's.
We were gonna go. It was out there. We were gonna go steal it. We claimed it on the air, and then
this was. Let's back up. Yeah. This was like a week. This was a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And it was a day where they had multiple pizzas delivered.
Yes.
And then one of them was sitting out when I walked into the studio the next morning
at like 5 a.m.
And I said, "All right, well, if this has been sitting out for less than 24 hours, 12 hours or so, I would." It's pizza, it's preserved, it's cheese and bread and salted meats. It's fine. I can do that. I'll eat it cold or I'll heat it up. I don't care. I'll try some of it.
Yeah, come to find out, someone stuffed it into the back corner of this lounge area that rarely gets used. We went back there to shoot a social media video. And
a week later, we went back there and saw that the pizza box had been moved way to the back and left there.
Yeah. Who moved it there? That's what I want to know.
I thought for sure one of the, security people or maintenance people that work here took that, they maybe had been in the fridge, was my thought. They had set it on the chair by our door where we walk in. And then just when I came in, I saw and was like, oh, pizza. And then they left and grabbed the pizza and walked out the door. That's what I assumed happened to it. But we find out that pizza was actually sometime in the 10 minutes we were talking on the air, someone heard us and then took it to the back and hit it.
Must have forgot about it. Alexi, our digital guy, found it when we went to shoot this digital video. And then Timmy lectured him on the air because he just left it there. And when they went back there, they opened up the box. And to quote Timmy, he said the pizza had fur.
There was a sausage pizza back there that had fur. The pepperoni, though, still looked fine. So that tells me the pepperoni still would have been fine if I'd eaten it a day after. Because
I was gonna,
I wouldn't eat it a week after.
No, that was gonna be my next question. Since you analyzed the pizzas and you determined the pepperoni was fine, I was wondering if you took a bite.
The sausage smelled awful. The pepperoni, there was no smell to it. It looked all curled up and stuff, but it didn't have a smell to it. So I don't know.
All I know is that pizza was wasted. For no good reason.
It broke my heart.
Wasted.
To know that it was sitting there and we could have had it that day if I'd have known where it had gone. But someone, I don't know what possesses someone to move it to that area and then leave it there. It made no sense.
They probably forgot.
They knew that there
Who
was.
Who moved it?
Whoever moved it knows how fat we are.
This is almost like the cookie jar song. Who stole the cookies from the cookie jar? That's kind of what this is like.
All right, we're going to get an update on your weather 2 minutes away. Meredith Carfalo will join us, 10 TV meteorologist. When can we try to grill out this Memorial Day weekend? We'll try to get those answers next. T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Friday. Right now, still noticing some slowdowns just south of Grandview Heights out there after a crash. 670 westbound at 33 and right before that 70 split, two left lanes. That's because our currently blocked out there. If you can, just get off 670 and take that southbound direction of 315. Then West Broad Street will get you back going westbound on 70 towards that west side. Also for our Southsiders, a crash happening in your area too. We're talking 270 westbound beyond Elm Creek Drive. That left lane is blocked. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
543. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast. CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Two men who both know the value of a good hat.
You're bald!
This is Bone and Tyvus.
Don't forget, if you've missed any part of the podcast, you can find it wherever you get your podcast. Just search T-Bone and Tyvus. The show is here 3 hours a day, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on The Fan, but it's also on a podcast wherever you get those. It's all brought to you by our friends at Capital Ford of Columbus, so make sure you grab us on a podcast. Also, you can get us on your Alexa. Just tell your Alexa device to play 97.1 The Fan, and it'll do that. You can have us on in your house. Wouldn't that be terrifying? Waking up every morning, immediately hearing us. At least sometimes you get in the car and wait to listen to us. That's a little bit more of a buffer zone, but yeah. do that. Get us on your Alexa.
You know what? I watched the other day. I was watching the new Michael movie.
Oh, did you see it? Did you wait? Is it available on streaming now?
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh,
hypothetically speaking,
you have the ability.
Hypothetically speaking,
that you have the
idiots.
You have the capabilities. Did you watch the whole thing?
Nah, I had 40 minutes to go, but it was really good. And it's funny because like I watched that, and now I get on Twitter and see Netflix is releasing a documentary of the trial of Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you watch this great movie, and then now you got to watch the bad part.
I mean, they're just capitalizing on the...
I mean, basically.
They are, of course. It's in the algorithms. I've seen videos of people singing along at the theater. Meredith Garfalo joining us now, 10TV meteorologist. The Michael movie in theaters. Have you gone to see it? And if so, would you sing at a theater, like if everybody else is singing like that?
No, I haven't seen it. And as a musical person as I am and how much I enjoy musicals, you don't sing in the theater.
Yes, you
That's
do.
That's just rude.
I sang at my house when I was watching.
Well, by yourself. I don't want to hear you sing in the
when
theater.
When they did the Beat It, I was doing the dance and everything.
What if you stood up and blocked my view? I'd be like, sit yourself
It was.
Down.
It's funny. I seen a video of a guy that got up on stage doing the dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the crowd was kind of cheering him on.
Did he have a glove?
I don't think he had the glove.
Oh, you got to bring the glove.
Thank you, Dylan.
What about a movie like Wicked? Is it okay to sing at a movie like that?
No.
No, there's no exceptions to your rule.
I just don't think so. I mean, you're paying money to go and experience the show. You don't want to experience everybody else unless somebody from Wicked is singing in their theater. Then everyone can sing along.
See, that's an interesting thought because my kids are big into like musicals and they went to see Wicked in the theater and they said that is what everyone was doing was like the whole theater was singing along. And I thought, I guess if you are very familiar with the musical and you knew all these songs, it would be more fun to participate. But if you're someone like me who doesn't, I've never seen Wicked, and I never went to a theater and saw it, like the performance. And now if I'm going to the movie, it's like, well, I would like to hear the stars sing this, you know. Right.
Wicked is a musical? First time.
Yes.
Jesus, Titus. Welcome to this planet.
Listen. Somebody send this guy a video.
Yeah, it's crazy. My wife and kids like watch that stuff, and
they watch the Ariana Grande version.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and head on out.
See,
I know nothing about the movie. I don't know what it's about. Nothing, because that's just
essentially a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
I have issues with it on artistic grounds, where it's like that movie existed. Now everyone who made it is gone. And then they're like, "Ah, we're going to redo it. Actually, this is actually how the movie." And it's like, whoa, 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 hang on. This is, don't change what happened. These people, now if the people who were alive were like, let's write a prequel to it or something, then fine.
Sure.
But, okay. but they changed the essence of, just make your own movie. I'm going to go back and make Star Wars, and I'm going to actually say Luke Skywalker, evil, the whole way. Like, well, that would suck. That's not what the story was. He's good. Yoda's good. Darth Vader, bad. And instead, now we're going to go take
his father.
Yeah, but I'm going to go like 50 years from now. We're going to make this again, but we're going to say actually Luke Skywalker sucked. We're going to make it all. He's all evil now. I don't know. I don't think that's good. Meredith, this weekend, good, bad, or otherwise on the weather right now. Where are we looking?
Well, I mean, today's going to be the worst of the day. If you are traveling, I know if you're traveling, I mean, go now, because I'm already seeing rain in Chillicothe. It's coming from the south. When it starts to downpour, it is going to be raining literally through overnight into tomorrow morning.
Oh.
And very minimal stops, like flooding potential, which I do have to say, and I've been saying this on the air all morning, if you are camping in Hocking Hills, you're under a flood watch, which means there's a threat for flash flooding. So if you are going to be camping, you want to make sure you have either your phone alerts, but even then you might have spotty cell service or a NOAA weather radio. You don't want to rely on the campground site to let you know if there's a flash flood warning. We've seen this happen before. I hope it doesn't happen, but I just don't want to not say anything just in case.
Sure. Course. Yeah, you don't think about that with in the hills, like Hocking Hills. Like, right. I always think, well, the flat areas would be the ones that would get the flood issue, but we've seen that like in North Carolina, where it was very mountainous and they had huge flash floods there a few years ago that were so devastating. So yeah, you got to be careful.
So T-Bone's gonna need a canoe to get to Indiana.
I was gonna say, yeah, I think or like one of those fast jet boats to come back. But Sunday's weather will be a lot. For us here, it's not going to be as bad. Tomorrow we'll have some scattered showers and storms, but in Indianapolis, pack your rain go.
Really?
Yes, I know.
Well,
it's gonna be warm though.
What do
that's
they do
positive?
With the race if it's raining?
They don't race. They wait until it stops raining because they have like slick tires, so they have to dry the track. They actually have big jet engines on trucks that they drive around the track to dry it off.
What day is it supposed to be?
Sunday.
So if they don't do it, if it rains all day Sunday, they're going to push it to Monday?
Possibly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And you're going to be there just grilling and everything.
We ain't going to be here on Monday.
None of us is going to be here on Monday.
Oh, that's right. It's the holiday. Yeah. Perfect.
So as far as grilling this weekend goes, what are we looking at as far as, are there windows of time where it would make sense? If I knew to get out there for a few hours and grill, when are the days we should kind of target that?
You know, if you need to, the afternoon tomorrow will be more spotty. And then as we go into Sunday, that'll be a lot better, I think.
Okay.
I think we'll have more isolated chances. Memorial Day is now shaping up to be nice. I think we'll have like pop-up storms, but there'll be more few and far between. Yeah, it's grilling time on Monday.
Okay. So what is happening in Indianapolis? Now you've got me curious on Sunday. How bad are we looking?
Well, I mean, I was looking at it, and after like 2-3 o'clock, it looks more and more likely that there's going to be showers and storms.
Okay.
The winds don't look that bad, but it's going to be warm. So it's not like it's going to be a cold rain, but if that's going to delay things, I mean, literally you're going to be sitting in the rain.
Well, they better travel fast. Get started early and then no caution.
What time is the race supposed to start?
It starts, I think, around 12:30, and they usually wrap up around like 3 hours or so. So it could be right there at the end.
You might get lucky. Yeah, I hope so for you.
Yeah, let's hope so. All right, that's fine. Well, for all the race fans out there, I hope it goes well. I'll be out there either way.
Dylan, you going? You getting a canoe?
Yeah, you know what? I changed my mind. Yeah, that's what I thought. I'll be home.
That's what I thought.
Meredith, no impromptu trip to Indy.
I'm curious because you've traveled a lot. You've obviously covered you've worked in a lot of different areas. Have you ever been to like an auto race or anything like that? NASCAR, IndyCar, anything
like that?
Actually,
when I lived in Denver, it's like National Hot Rod Association had
a race.
The Dragsters. They had me sing the national anthem before their big match or whatever they call it, race.
Yeah.
So I got to go and see that, and that was really, really cool. But I haven't seen like anything like NASCAR. My family in Florida are huge fans, though. So they like bet on it, which I thought of Dylan for that, since he loves to get my forecast just so he can make some money off of me.
Tyvus is the new gambling addict on this show.
That's not true. Yeah, Tyvus is the gambling expert. He's the one who does the most gambling of any of us.
Let them lie to you. Would you say that you have a lead foot as a driver?
That's all we need to know.
That smile and pause was all you needed to know. Watch out on the roads for Meredith Garfalo when she's out there.
Me and my Equinox. Vroom.
Yeah, exactly right.
I feel like we've all admitted to driving fast, except for T-Bone, that actually has a car that you should drive fast.
Oh, I drive fast.
Well, I don't. The other day, you were talking about going 90, like it's a unique situation. Me and Tyvus were like,
Oh, that's a unique situation. I don't drive that fast. No, I mean,
look up sometimes I swear I was going 80.
If the state troopers are watching or listening right now, you're screwed, T-Bone.
Yeah, away from Twin River Drive, please.
I stay cruising around like 75 to 80. That's where I kind of cruise around. I don't go above that.
If somebody in front of me is going 95 and I have someone behind me, I think if you get in the middle and you all are going 95, you're not going to get caught.
Meredith, 95. I mean, this is driving, not windows. Come on now.
I mean,
that's windows 95.
Get Meredith in a pace car.
All right. Well, have a safe, if you're traveling this weekend, be safe. Like Meredith said, if you're out, especially overnight tonight, if you're camping or something, careful of that, all that rain coming down, and then hopefully some grilling weather better tomorrow, Sunday and Monday. And hopefully, I don't know how much you're working this weekend, Meredith, but hope you have a good...
I am off until Tuesday, boys. So I'll be grilling out there myself.
We'll have a great holiday weekend for you.
You guys too. Safe travels,
as well. Yep, perfect. We'll hit the buzzer coming up next. T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Friday. Noticing about 4 different crashes happening around the metro. Let's go ahead and start on the south side. There is an incident on 270. It's that westbound direction just passing Alum Creek Drive and right before 23. That left lane is blocked out there. Not too bad when it comes to traffic. Really not seeing anything. A different direction, though, over here on the east side, just outside of Aetna, another crash. We're talking 70 westbound, just passing 310. That right shoulder is blocked for you. Noticing some slower drive times as well. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Built Right.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
One of these men was prom king. The other is Tybus. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Joining the program, everybody's favorite uncle and the guy who's going to settle the debate for us right
now.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, baby.
Bo Bishop. Bo, listen. I'm having an argument with your two friends. You know, you have Bishop and friends. Your two friends today is Baker and Josh JP. Perry.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting out there and I'm having a conversation with Josh and I'm telling him, hey, you know, you should get up. Do you sit in the chair for 3 hours when you do the show or do you get up and walk around and shoot on the Papa Shot? He tells me he sits in the chair for 3 hours. I said, well, you shouldn't do that because, you know, you burn calories when you get up and move around. He asked me, how many calories have you burned today? I look right at my Apple Watch and I said, 192. He goes, you did not burn 192 calories on the Papa Shot. Well, I didn't do it from just sitting in that chair. So then I come in, I talk to Brother Bone, and I explain what I just explained to you to Brother Bone. He's another person that does not move out of his chair for 3 hours. So you know what side of the fence that he's on. He's telling me that you do burn calories sitting in the chair.
Hang on.
Where are you at in this conversation?
Let's properly represent what I said, which was, I acknowledge that moving around, you burn more calories, but you're making it sound like you burn zero calories, period.
Zero.
Your body burns calories by, like, waking up, by thinking, by, like, brushing your teeth.
So today,
it's not the same as lifting weights or running. I'm just saying.
So today,
how do you function?
I burned 192 calories. You burned 15.
Yeah, but I've burned calories. I'm just saying. I don't know how many calories it is, but my body has burned calories. Your body has burned calories. I don't know how much of it is because you shot on Papa Shot. That's all I was trying to say.
All right, too.
Here, I'm ready to make a ruling on this.
All right,
so, number one, Tybus would be a terrible attorney because it was entirely leading. Like everything,
everything was leading. Yes,
everything was incredibly leading. So you'd have been a terrible attorney on that front. Like you, it would have been objection, 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 sustain, sustain, sustain. So that right out of the gates, there. I'm a stander, so I stand for the whole show. You guys know this.
I don't ever sit. Yeah.
If I can avoid it, and it really is the calorie thing. I didn't ever consider. It was just my back. Like it just hurts to sit for 3 hours. I just can't do it. So I stand is the way that I do it. And then what am I supposed to judge on? If you burn more calories by getting up and doing Papa Shot versus sitting, then yes, you win.
Of course. And I don't think anybody was arguing that.
Everyone's
agreed saying
with that, right?
He's saying he burned 200 calories just shooting Papa Shot, and I don't think you did.
Yeah, you're not doing a triathlon, but
this is
better than this.
Bo, yes. I'm trying to promote a healthy lifestyle. You know, I'm trying to get Josh Perry and Brother Bone here to lose some weight for the summer.
First of all, don't compare me and Joshua Perry. One of those guys is an elite athlete. don't put his issues with my issues.
He's pushing 290.
Is that you and him?
No, don't put me in that category. He pushing 290. Look at the guy. He got a little jiggle to him now.
Now you're saying he's three bills and you're calling him Josh. Like, you're trying to get out of the will, aren't you?
I've called him Josh since the day I met. You know how Josh
is? He's on network television.
Josh introduced himself to me. He goes, hi, my name is Joshua Perry. I said, what up, Josh? He said, no, I don't go by Josh. I go by Joshua. And I said, what up, Josh?
Wow. That's great.
It's been our relationship for literally 10 years.
And now 10 years later, we're arguing about if you can burn 190 calories versus 15.
He got a little jiggle to him. It's fine. I'm trying to get him to tone himself up.
Tybus, you promote a healthy lifestyle with your mouth, but not with your actions.
What do you mean?
I mean, he does involve his mouth in the healthy actions by eating the food. We were just talking the other day how the hot and spicy or the sweet and spicy wings of Popeyes.
What day was that?
Cheat day.
Thank you.
But you were talking about how it ruined
back
your week.
When I trained for the draft, combine, we had our cheat day was Wednesday.
Okay.
I ate healthy every day, Monday through Friday, except for Wednesday. We got the day off and they actually provided us burgers and all this stuff. So they was like, you can't, it's insane to try to do it for 5 days a week. So we're going to give you the one cheat day.
Okay.
So
that's good.
I'm taking the knowledge that I know when I was in the tip-top shape, and I'm doing it. What's the problem?
Nothing, but you're acting like you eat a healthy lifestyle all the time.
I do.
No, I don't think so.
I got one day a week. Fish messed me up today.
Fish told me there was no resistance when you were in that Chick-fil-A.
Fish messed me up today. I was on a good trajectory. I've been eating egg white delights and all that, and fish came in with Chick-fil-A. He messed me up today.
Yeah.
The biscuit.
You didn't say, fish, I'm on a diet. Just don't eat the biscuits,
and that'll help you a little bit.
Bo, if the boss goes out and spends his hard-earned cash on food, you can't just come in and say no.
He's expensing that.
Yes, that's right. 100%. That's
not coming out.
Correct. That's correct.
Fish pocket. You don't survive as long as fish has in this business by coming a la carte. Come on.
Bo, are you going to watch the Indy 500 this weekend?
I heard you guys this morning. It pained me. The Buddy Lazier one was a really tough listen. Power was stupefying that you got that one wrong. Ari Leyendijk. I mean, we didn't know who Ari Leyendijk was. Oh, my God.
I tried to give him a few.
I know you did. You did the best you could, and yet we're still off.
I know.
I actually thought your good creativity on the opposite names of the guys who actually won it. That was a good job out of you, Brother Bone. I was proud of you on that.
I did it for the fans, it did, Bo.
I said this. I know you did.
There I'm was just a couple, stupid.
No, you're not. I did this about a month or so ago where things that I used to know as a kid, like I used to know everybody who won the Indy 500, everybody who won the Daytona 500, the heavyweight champion of the world. Like I knew all that stuff. I don't know any of that now. That stuff is so far on the periphery for me now, and I think I think your exercise kind of proved that with you guys that these are things that you used to just know. We are so overloaded with information though now that I think like these things that used to just be like common sports knows, we don't know anymore. And so when you guys are doing that, I wasn't surprised. Like my kids probably couldn't name a single IndyCar driver, and I guarantee you when I was 14, I could have named 10.
Right.
And yeah. I think we're just, everything is so siloed into the exact things that we want that we don't have information outside of our silos the way we used to.
No, and to your point, I feel like the other side of that is true, where like if you are a fan of those sports, not only do you know a few of the drivers, you know all of the drivers, all of the crew chiefs, so bathed in it by your algorithm and everything else that when you try to have a conversation with a normal person who's like, oh, IndyCar, is that the one where they race at Daytona? Yeah. And you're just like, oh my God, I can't even talk to you because it's right. Not, you're not, it, right. And that's not good either.
No, I don't think it is. I think both are wrong.
Yeah, we don't need to be that involved. No. Also, probably it would be good for those sports if they...
Yeah, yeah, you just have like little general knowledge.
I'm tripping on the fact, when did Jeff Gordon retire?
It's been probably a decade.
What about Jimmy Johnson?
Probably 5 or 6 years now.
Dang, I've been out of the loop for a while.
Yeah, they were both. I mean, I covered NASCAR for 6 years. Went to every Daytona 500, every Pepsi 400.
Oh, yeah, you're down in Florida.
I did all that stuff. So, like, we do speed weeks for 10 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'd go down there for 10 days for speed weeks. I mean, it was crazy.
I'm sure you saw this. I'll recommend it to people. Along with being out at tracks, you get to see a lot of interesting characters.
Mm-hmm.
The Twitter handle for the weekend, Indy 500 Picks, PICS. It's only active for 3 days every year. Yeah. It is just people submitting the drunkest humans you've ever seen from the Indy 500 infield. And it is 3 days of that. The pictures are unhinged, people stumbling around, people diving off of Porta-Johns. It's crazy. And then it goes away.
A million people in a space
for
a weekend.
350,000 tickets this weekend, Bo.
Did they really?
300. They said the grandstand is sold out. It's the 110th Indy 500. So it's going
to
be.
Well, Dylan, you couldn't go if you wanted to.
It's going
to
be quite the thing. Yeah. All right.
I love those big one-offs. I think those are fun. So I'll have it on. Root for Graham and hope for the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else we should know before we head off into our Friday?
I guess I'm going to fat shame Joshua Perry. Is that what I'm doing today? Is that what we got to do?
All right, good.
Bye. I am going to put Urban on trial, though. I'm going to put Urban on trial right out of the gates.
Oh, so, perfect. Well,
Joshua's going to be the judge and jury on that.
There you go. Bishop and Friends and body shaming coming up 9 to noon right here on The Fan. Thanks, Bo.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for The Buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
Well, we were just talking about it. How many people watching the Indy 500? Totally unscientific, but the fan poll today brought to you by JT's Pizza Pub. Will you be watching the Indy 500? 52.6% of you said no. So it's a little more 50-50, but right now the majority is saying they are not watching it. Whether you're watching it or not, I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. I hope you stay dry and hopefully get to get your cookouts in, whatever events you have, and obviously keep the focus where it should be on those who serve this country as well, especially on Monday. But yeah, have a great Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy your Friday, Bishop and Friends, coming up next, right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
On the east side, we are noticing a crash on 270 southbound passing East End and right before 670 and by the airport. That left lane is blocked for you. Just outside of Taylor Station and places like Reynoldsburg, we have another crash 270 northbound at that Broad Street area.